April 23rd, 2015, get away.
Hi, Natalie.
Time's out. You know, you get an emergency and you want the information right now, so what do you get? You try the core webpage for adult counts. And work. Just time's out.
Did you look at
your alert, Gary? Yes.
Tried it.
You want two of these?
Four?
Oh, and it's on my printer. Oh, well. Hopefully I can remember it.
Isn't that what?
Yeah. I'll go back up to get it. If I go back up to get it, I'm getting on the phone. And I'm gonna see.
Juvenile numbers.
Next time we'll just have it at St. Helens room.
That'd be yeah, just as well.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what they had ever been.
And it's bigger. It's a lot bigger in there. And there's no less hassle.
I was looking at the paper, you know, how many people would actually show up.
Let's do that. So, Ida's here. Good.
Well, I'm down to about a week. We should have the house.
Are you serious?
Is this going around?
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever.
If the pros were in there doing it, I think ours would be done too. Because you could just put it in there.
Yeah, I got to get our fish in on Thursday.
So nobody from
your
football?
Buddy. Yeah, my buddy. Like, dude, you wish past day this week, you know.
So maybe on the phone? The
electrician's there today.
I'm starting to call more pros. Yeah. Just to get them.
Yeah. We need them. We have three of them.
We're doing a good
sounds
job.
Like this is going to work itself out pretty easy.
Right.
We're
probably going to sell.
It's going to be a decision. Of putting off fixing it versus
you don't want to
running
go
with 5-3 through the season.
So you want to sell it.
Maybe we wait until we get to the lull and then we go ahead July or something like that. It's not going to get past.
Yeah, and then they, after everything,
at least there's an option.
Yeah, cover inspections.
Keep us from going to the edge of the
abyss.
Axe bill.
Do you have any crazy kind
that's
of
the
inspectors?
Abyss, especially for Joe.
Crazy kind of inspectors come in. And
yeah, good.
That oh, yeah. One
what I left in the print.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to take a look at this?
And I've seen that. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to really? Have a look.
Yeah, we had one dude that was like, made us do stuff that didn't even make sense.
Trevor, you cannot leave your garbage.
No, I'm sorry.
I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, Brad's done with his muffins, so we can get started.
Chewing. Still chewing there.
Who else on the phone?
Hi, this is Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi, this is Bill Heblin.
Hey, Bill. That might be it. Hey, spoke too soon. Who just called in?
This is Russ Keeper.
Hey, Russ.
Hey.
All right, for the folks on the phone, we can go around the room. Sean Tackley.
Agnes Luth.
Ed Meyer and NOAA Fisheries.
Joe Skaleski, Fish and Wildlife.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
Brad Eppard.
John Rersich.
Gary Fredericks. I'm sorry, John. Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Bob Cordy, Corn the Dallas. Brian Bissell, Bonneville.
Gary Matthew, Ford.
Lisa Wright, Ford.
Nathan Zorich, Army Corps.
Scott Fielding, Corps.
He was in Old John Day.
Seth Stevens, Corps. Jeff Bowes, Corps.
Sienna Lopez Johnston, BPA.
All right. And who just called in?
Oh, Steve Schleicher.
Hey, Steve. So before we kind of move down the agenda, there were a couple of action items from the last meeting. This should be pretty short. We did hold the LPS prioritization discussion. Is anyone on the web meeting, by the way? There is one available for folks if you want to follow along. We held that meeting on April 1st, and there's, you know, in terms of follow-up actions, the Corps will be meeting with the tribes in the next few weeks. Actually, I think our next quarterly meeting is in mid-May, and the topic of discussion there will definitely be about where to go on priorities. The John Day overflow.
Sean followed up, and Brad just dropped the ball.
Brad.
What?
Tammy says that Brad Eppard will have a hydraulic and structural engineer look.
Clearly, Tammy is.
This has not been reviewed, has not been scheduled, and throw it all on poor Scott.
Well, Gary, your name is on the agenda for this topic.
So. Which one?
Actually, I did have a discussion with.
But that wasn't
Sean Asmussen. About this, I haven't had it, and I tried to get a hold of Matt Hansen and couldn't get a hold of him.
And thanks for letting me know I was on the agenda a day ahead of time.
Sean's initial take on it was he didn't seem to think it would be that big of a deal, but hasn't seen the actual design.
So that's his.
That's the initial after some discussion.
That's the engineering review we got.
Order page memo.
Conversation about grouting.
Right.
And 2 inches.
No, that's
overflow weirs. And he said, from a hydraulic standpoint, he said it probably wouldn't make much difference. And so still some work to be done there. We are. We've had a discussion with. Is this coming later on?
Yeah.
It does. Had a discussion with division, and so now we've got to. We're going to be
number 7.
I've got to work with Ian to get see if we have money for 15, and see if we can't get something.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's on the SCT spreadsheet. Yeah. Although I think it's identified as it's on here as the north ladder. So it should be both ladders.
Right. So, I tried to get hold of Ian yesterday, and I think he was an LDP or something, but.
Actually, the important point is that the log jam is broken and that you guys are going to move forward a little bit on this. And so I think we're going to have more later from Pacific States on this.
Yeah, they're planning to be here. So if they can find their way to the room.
To this door,
Right. Tape measures and everything, ought to be right at home.
The other action item from last meeting was to schedule a Bonneville performance standard test meeting, which is really kind of a SRWG discussion. Scott, how's that going?
It's great. Right on time. It has not been done yet.
All right, done.
Wait a minute. So, where are we?
We're still waiting to fill our two positions. We're at the tail end of having that completed, so that whoever is in those positions, Scott will be one of them, and so that he can work on it full time. He's still working half time in Portland, half time in Walla Walla, and so he's got quite a bit on his plate right now.
But we also have an SRWG one pager that. Is going out for pre-proposals in a couple of months.
Right.
And that should not go anywhere until we have this discussion. So time is a waste.
I know.
You get a discussion going on.
It's sitting in our HR department right now, and we just simply don't have.
You may not have time to wait for the person to get on board before we have the meeting, but I think we should still have the meeting. That's my point. Let's not wait. I understand your desire to do that, but if you can't get somebody on, then Scott will have to bring them up to speed once he gets up to speed. But we do need to have that regional discussion sooner than later, I think.
Yeah, just a tough situation.
I know, but we can have that discussion. I mean, we have the people.
But we just haven't had time to prepare for that discussion, and that needs to happen.
And we can really roll you right over.
Exactly. So
sooner the better.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the last discussion.
I know it doesn't.
We just need to get the ice broken.
But I want it to be productive. And if we haven't gotten all of our ducks in a row in preparing for that discussion, which we need to do,
right?
Then it potentially is a waste of everybody's time. And so trying to avoid that.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be a waste. I think it's a good time. We've been circling around this drain for a long time. It's time to address it. Flush the toilet, maybe.
There's a positive spin.
I think so. I think so, actually. I'm not sure there's anything we've done that really leads us to. We
could probably take notes during the meeting. Share those.
Yeah. So, you know, sooner than later, and certainly before we get pre-proposals, or before we get a prioritization discussion, which is June, what, 4? Somewhere. When is that?
June 4.
4, yeah. We definitely would want to have a meeting before that, or just punt it at that point. But if you punt it there, then that cascades if you want to do a test in 16.
Oh, we're aware of it.
I know. I'm just pushing.
I know.
And I'm going to keep pushing.
Good. Call our HR folks, would you?
Well, you know, like we could say we'll have a meeting in our shop, I suppose, and bring you guys in. We can always have a meeting. But, yeah, it just depends on whether you want to let it slide until you get to... Tom's still blinking his eyes.
Hi, Tom.
I'm blinded by the castles.
Is it 10 already?
No, Trevor, how long have you been here?
Ouch.
Man, you get Ice Harbor right and look at someone we're going to have to live with from now on? Jeez. It's one thing right.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Usually.
Obviously well now.
Okay. We were just talking about the Bonneville scoping for performance study testing meeting that we haven't had, and we're trying to get scheduled.
That we should have.
Yeah. So I'm just thrashing Brad on this.
Oh, yeah. But
again, I should say.
Yeah, that's a good quote for the meeting minutes.
Thrashing
Brad
again. And Brad takes it so well.
So how many official performance tests have been done at Bonneville? Just one?
12.
Seriously?
One.
One, and then one, well, one considered
one,
retro?
One for summer and one for spring.
One for summer, one for spring.
Yeah,
if you accept those.
And so technically, you don't have to modify anything under the rule set? Is that kind of what people are thinking, or...?
That's what we're going to talk about.
That's what we need to talk about.
Yes, okay. That's, we accept either of those? And if you do accept one, and you throw the others out because you don't like them, but they were still decent tests, then where are we? And do we go back and start with some modifications, or do you think this is right just to do another test? I'm a little worried about that, frankly. So just doing another test might not be a good idea.
And then when will the FGE... sort of backer plate mods be done? I know we're going to talk about that today, but
yeah.
Will that be done in time for the 16 test?
Depends on the results of the study, which we're having trouble getting done this year. So
I don't think it'll be done.
All the construction, no. I mean, this year we'll know if we should, if the fix is good.
And that's a quick turnaround.
And they're talking, two or three years to get them all
done.
In terms of doing them when there are routine outages, I guess, for units or whatever.
I don't see that really changing anything, though, because we'll run a midpoint.
So maybe this could be deferred to 2018.
What's that, Bill?
Yeah.
So maybe it could be deferred until 2018.
What?
Till the spill bays are fixed, we could defer it.
The spill bays?
The Bonneville.
Yeah, well, there is some
in 2018.
Some no, it's
2018. Not, yeah,
some discussion of whether you guys are just going to punt on it
and use that money on the spill bays.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, Bill. Wrong color of money.
So therefore, the need for the discussion. That's
all right.
I mean, if you pull the one pager off the heap, then. Will take more time, but given that that's sitting there, that's what I see as kind of driving the need to get this done.
Okay. So the one change to the agenda that I put in, you'll see at the top there is the kind of a really an FPOM discussion, and I don't know if we want to just launch into that. about that issue. Anyway, Wertheimer called John this morning and noticed that there's a lot of sea lion predation going on in the spillway tail race, and obviously that's where bulk of the flow is coming, right? And we also saw a drop in passage from like 13,000 to 6,000 or so the last couple of days. So Bob raised the question of whether we should be considering operational changes or if there are any options operationally.
Let's back up to the 5-4 issue and why we have.
There's a couple of issues here.
Yeah, let's get that out.
That are out there.
So it looks like from the MFR that came out from Bonneville on the 21st of April, there was a failure of fish valve 5-4. The valve was dewatered for inspection, and dewatering, correct me if I'm wrong here, Brian, but it took the 5-3 out of service as well. And so we didn't have any attraction flow at the Cascade Island ladder entrance, and we still do not, correct?
No, that's not correct.
Yeah. That's not?
Yeah.
So yesterday we were able to put the bulkhead down, which separates valve 5-4 from the valve pit. So right now we were able to bring back the valve pit. 5-4 is still isolated, so it's not operating, and all the south diffusers are closed, so 16 through 20, which is in the entrance area of the fish entrance. Mm-hmm. 5-3 is operating, everything's in manual, all of the south diffusers, we opened, you know, a bunch, so right now differential in the entrance area is just below 1,
mm-hmm.
So we're not great at criteria.
That's
we're hoping through today we can maybe make some adjustments and get it up to 1, but it probably won't be much better than that.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping to at least get that. So so I guess now the question is, if we, and then there's some issues that O&M needs to talk about as far as when we fix that 5-4, but now we have a system that's running kind of normal anyway, so the question now becomes, is our normal operation
good enough,
or do we need to change normal operation because of what we've seen? And that's a bigger question. That's a tough one.
What would you want to do?
What B2, we have a 150K river, so we're only running two units, unit 18 and the test unit, either 14 or 15.
Today it's got two units.
Today it's 14, and so Randy released fish to the gay well for the 14 evaluation, but we can shift unit priority and run unit 11 and 18.
11 and 18, so you got those two units, so then the question is, do you change anything in the spillway for Powerhouse 1?
Hey Nathan, can you talk about the sea lion prediction? Where we're
you guys probably heard the news, is kind of an extreme year this year. Right? There's a lot of sea lions around before predation is higher than before. I think the radar from Bob this morning was yesterday they had 40 fish taken in an hour. And it's visual observation, so it could be an underestimate probably of anything, which is extremely high.
But that was why we had no Cascade Island attraction flow, is that right?
Yeah, Tuesday and yesterday.
And yesterday, so that was an extreme condition. We don't have that today. But, I mean, that doesn't mean that there isn't a lot of predation. But we have a lot of fish out there, too, so 40 is a small percentage of what's going on out there, what's passing. I guess the question is, do we panic and do something totally different?
I think that's why Bob wanted to raise the issue. It's supposed to be just watch the numbers go from 7,000 to 13,000 down to 6.
Right.
And I don't know at that point.
We got need to see, and I couldn't get on the webpage today to see what we had going.
Well, and then where was most mortality noted? Was it in the spillway?
Spillway.
Okay.
And can we increase the amount of hazing that's going on out there?
It's not very effective at the spillway.
Spillway is so crazy.
I know. It's hard to get in there.
It's not hard. You don't go in there.
I wouldn't take my boat in there.
Bobby would, but I don't think
Bobby would. Yeah, take that Sea Dory in there. It'll take anything.
Bobby will do it for you, but I would suggest he doesn't.
Yeah, well, they do go up into the bottom end of it a bit, but So anyway. I would suggest, let's see what we have for passage.
One of the things we're going to do before we get too far is in relation to the FGE research that's going right now.
Yeah, I told Randy to, ask Randy to hold off on tagging any more fish.
Yeah.
So I expect, we're going to want to move the unit priority back to FPP priority. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll resume testing on May 5th.
Well, you're having trouble getting the tailwaters you need anyway to get the flows to the units. That's That'll come back in a couple of weeks here, so I would say wait, postpone. That's what Paul's telling me, is that we should get back to 200-ish. At least we'll get 20 or 30K back in the river before and be able to run. Yeah. And it's most important to get that A slot work done, I think. C slot could actually wait or not get done. We can make a decision, I think. So that seems like that's a kind of a easy one, just postpone and see what we get. So I think I'd wait and see what we get with now the project's got something running. So the question now is going to be, when do you fix? Get in there and try to fix that 5-4. Do we leave 5-3 running in isolation for the rest of the spring and through the sockeye migration, and then fix it before steelhead hit?
Steel and false nook.
Mm-hmm. Which is like first of all.
What's that going to do for shad? Don't we go to like 1.2 for shad or something?
Well, they may have some trouble with that ladder. Yeah. But there'd just be that one ladder. It would just be Cascade Island.
But it could create a high concentration of shad at the entrance.
That would be in June.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a night operation for shad?
Lamprey.
No, lamprey.
Yeah, it could, but it'd just be one ladder. It'd just be Cascade. Okay, are we able to maintain? Do you think we can get 1.3 on the weirs, or is that's probably going to be top two all the way down?
Well, the upper ladder is fine.
Yeah.
Just the lower.
Well, the entrance isn't an issue. Shad will go through that just fine. It's the weirs.
Yeah.
You want a cascade.
I just wouldn't want to see like
or a streaming
500,000 shad sitting right there with summer shad trying to go up at the same time.
We can keep the ladder in criteria 1.3 at the upper, at the UMT gauge there. We should be okay.
So back to the fish test, that's going to be the 5th now?
Well, we had on the schedule, the Spring Creek fish were going to be released on the 27th.
That's the other thing.
And so we were planning to continue our evaluation through the morning of the 27th. Mm. And given the low river flows, and we're not meeting the operation, the adult issue, it's probably just best to come back on Tuesday, May 5th. And resume after the Spring Creek pass.
And that's what you guys still on track of doing 27th?
Yep, that's the plan, unless there's a market increase in mortality.
So for unless you're still on track of doing it early.
Been having
incrementally bumping up, but still.
4 days.
Yeah, more salts,
4 days.
Pardon?
4 days.
The treatment?
We've got 4 days until the 27th.
Yeah.
Color.
I mean, it might be earlier, it won't be later.
That's I don't think it works. That's for fungus. This is a prozoan.
Well, there was concerns with the hot weather last week, warm, and that's passed.
Forecast is
were thinking of doing it earlier. Is there any advantage of waiting a little bit? But if you guys are still on schedule, then
Well, and the flow thing is what they're going to have to wait for, and that's going to be, when it happens, it happens. Yeah. That's going to be a warming atmosphere. Looks like it's supposed to warm up.
It was drizzling like in the middle.
It was a lifelong ass.
Yeah, well, that's actually what's keeping the flows down. So it's cooler weather, but once it warms up a bit, I don't know, and Snake River should come up. That'll be the big one because they're filling coolly, so that's going to take some.
They haven't even started yet.
And they got a big hole.
You got to wait for that one.
Yeah, it was a good tip on that one.
You might get a little extra.
A little extra loss. Yeah, no, that's not. I mean, just the point is, it's going to be low this year, no matter what.
It's going to suck.
But it will be better, and I think he can get his test done.
Yep.
If he waits a couple weeks or a week, week and a half.
Yeah, we don't need that much more water if we can get a 170 river.
Well, that you will. You'll get
the extra I'm talking about is the half a math that we might get.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Well, we can get 20K at Bonneville. That's enough to get him
another reason to go there.
Yeah.
Well, we can get the half a math, but we can't shape.
That's the part we gotta work on.
We can maybe do some shaping. It's just we gotta figure out when we'd be allowed to play.
That's we can't do it. Someone else does the shaping.
Okay, so
this is an O&M issue now.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but to summarize, so we have a traction flow at the Cascade Island.
Yeah.
The valve issue is it's not up to criteria, but it's close, mm-hmm. right? We're gonna
go back to
kill the test. Bring it back.
Yeah, we'll go to regular FPP.
Couple weeks.
Operation.
Mm-hmm. 11 and 18.
11 and 18. And so then I think maybe we do, we just see where we're at here. Keep a close eye on it for the next couple days on predation. Mm-hmm.
And slatter splits. And
yeah.
And then we'll ask the new head of FPOM to at Portland to talk about F valve, when we fix the valve.
Yeah, that'll be an O&M discussion.
Yep.
I want to know who's going to go down there and sit in the UMT count station.
I heard John likes it down there.
I do.
There we go.
John's field off.
He's got like a cave.
He likes spiders.
Yeah. So is the valve fix?
So tonight's
days, weeks, months?
That we'll have to find
sounds
out.
Like at least weeks.
It's going to be not four, sure.
At least two to four, maybe.
It's hard to say until you get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys can do to give us like your best schedule, take a look and see when you guys think you can get to it. Let's talk it up on and see when the best time is.
So yeah. Is the expectation that this is a normal wear and tear problem, or is this something that might have been called?
It's an age thing. Okay. Like the pins are original to the dam.
Yeah. Did it freeze over and cold?
Yeah, that's been leaking
and
a bit
recent work
over there. I don't know if that was that leaky just coming out as a result of something else. Yeah.
So I'll be setting up an FPOM call early next week.
Yeah.
I imagine you don't want to wait until May.
No, we should do that as soon as we can, I think. As long as you guys know what you're going to know, then it's time to have a talk once you get to that point, stagnation point.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch that on the phone that Tammy will set up a FPOM call for early next week?
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
That's okay.
Sunday, Mother's Day?
No. Better not be.
Wife's birthday.
It's May 10th for all you delinquent dads.
Delinquent?
Responsibility.
I guess.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, see how you Yeah, you're probably safe then. For us that still have a wife in the house and you have young children, we're not so lucky.
Hey, John. Did you get anything on the Bonneville spillway?
You're lucky.
Any info for
you're luckier than
Matt
you know.
Or Lori?
Well, for the next agenda,
yeah,
until they go to college.
Okay.
More than I know.
That's true. But when you're an old man, that would take care of you. I think you're lucky.
Okay.
Okay. So
because I don't think anyone. Sad. I don't think they're on the phone. So.
We left her at the convention center.
That's where my daughter wanted to do that. All right. Moving on. Just to check, are Matt, Randy, or Lori on the phone? Didn't think so. So maybe John will give us a little bit of update on the spillway.
Were they
going to
get on the phone? Because we can. Boom. But they're not going to get
on. I didn't get a response. So.
Yes.
So let's skip over it. Unless John or Project has anything.
I'm sorry.
Do you have anything on this?
The major rehab, you know, Cuts provided an update to Fitterwig at the last meeting, and there's nothing new here. Bottom line is that PDT continues to work on major maintenance versus major rehab items, and Cuts should have another brief for Fitterwig when phase one is completed, and that will be near the end of FY15. So
they'll be coming back.
Yeah, so this one is probably going to be on hold for a while.
On the phone.
So get you in your career. Pretty sure. I hope not. This before.
Awesome. So one of these days, the thing's just going to go.
There's been a couple of items in this potential failure mode analysis that the PDT's been working on that you know have been extracted from this effort and deemed high priority, and one is Cascade Island subsidence and A branch. And so that has been reported up and it really needs its own project.
The Bonneville Geyser part of that too?
Yeah.
Bonneville what?
Yeah. The geyser.
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Is that going to the corporate board?
I think it has been briefed at the corporate board level. Yeah.
I want to hold my breath.
Yeah. I don't know where that stands right now.
That's right. We can have the national park and the guys are there.
A webcam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet.
92 minutes.
So have you guys sent a rove down the geyser to see where it's about large enough? You could.
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
The spring.
It's a lot of springs.
Put a little water. It's a B branch ladder along the side of A branch ladder. We've got water boiling up out of there, out of the ground. It rises, oh, I don't know, maybe a foot or so sometimes.
It's really lovely.
Yeah. That's an effervescent spring.
It's a drinking fountain.
It's a bit. Yeah. Get on your knees.
And over the years.
It has. It's been going on for quite a while, but it's getting worse. I've seen it pop up now in several spots all the way up the ladder there. There's gravel. I mean, it looks like a regular hot spray, or well, it's not hot, but it's a regular spring.
It's a more natural effect.
Yeah, the water cascading down the fishway and moss growing all the way up. We'll have a lamprey passage.
The wetted wall.
The wetted wall.
Let some of that concrete kind of crumble into the fishway. Then.
Eventually. Oh, well. Your flagship dam.
Just a ladder.
It's just your flagship.
All right.
They got others.
Domino effect.
We're not going to Buckley House of Dell.
Flagship. We the flagship of Rivers.
It's always been the flagship.
Now we know why.
Right. Well, the Lamprey projects, minor fishway mods first. In terms of an update. If you want to give us kind of where we are in general.
On the minor mods?
Yeah. I think the key thing here is that this coming winter, you know, this is kind of a ladder for winter project. If we're following the schedule, this coming winter we'd be focused at Bradford Island. And so we have kind of a list of potential tasks there involving entrance weir caps similar to what we designed for Washington Shore, and addressing passage in the serpentine weir section, which conceptually what we've discussed is cutting orifices similar to what has been done at the Walla Walla projects. Also, what's been discussed over the years is a yet to be designed refuge box concept, so having small refuge boxes along the fishway floor to provide cover for those who aren't familiar. Again, lamprey often ascend the ladder at night and then will get up to the top of the ladder, and then a lot of them will fall back out of the ladder at that point. Also, of course, we know there's a lot of turnaround in the serpentine weir section itself, regardless of whether it's day or night. And so the idea here is to try to retain lamprey in the fishway. There's some, I threw out the question to some of the folks in the project and Caudill and Mary Moser and whatnot about the whole concept of, obviously with salmon, you know, we try to make every effort to minimize retaining fish in the fishway, but with lamprey, if you know you have a lot that are backing out of the ladder altogether and then not passing, the question is whether it's better to give them provide that refuge, keep them going. So, skip through this, but I guess for today we're not at 30% design or anything. We don't have any designs for you guys to look at, but conceptually, we thought it'd be useful to kind of get folks' input on some of the considerations before we get started on design. I know there's a long history of evaluating these orifices up at McNary, Lower Granite, Little Goose. So. We should probably bring that history to bear on Bradford and potentially Washington Shores.
And the history at Bradford as well, and sockeye issues there.
Exactly. It's a unique ladder that way.
It is, and this isn't just a slam dunk, easy to do thing for us.
Right.
We'll have to go through some discussion and maybe some evaluation of the hydraulics, and as well as potential, you know, for these, just for fish to go through these things. I mean, I would try to go through them. I just don't want them injured.
The most pressing concern is with sockeye?
Yeah, it really is. For that size, yeah, we're down to 2.5 inches.
Aren't they the same size as the Snake River projects?
That is a Snake River project, yeah.
There was,
but the ones proposed for Bonneville,
right?
Yeah, in their evaluation, they did see some interaction, a couple of cases of fish actually trying to swim through the orifices, and so there's some height that it appears that fish don't try to interact or swim through it, but then you're starting to get to where lamprey don't readily, you know, want to go through it. So there's like a compromise there. And
yeah, you've got a lot more sockeye at Bonneville.
We have to go back through our information and see what we're comfortable
with. Problem with lamprey going through the orifice?
No, it's fine. It's just that if it's too small, they won't go through.
Needle in a haystack.
So you got to find that happy sweet spot that the lamprey folks are comfortable with and the salmon folks are comfortable with.
Yeah, we want them to go through, but we don't want salmon to get stuck in them or get injured in the process. I don't care if salmon go through them, that's fine, but we don't want them injured in the process or just delayed trying to find, you know, if they get confused by the hydraulics. So the effect of these things on the hydraulics of the flow control section is important. Yeah. Maybe minor, but important. And then also, you know, just the interaction of fish with those orifices.
Trevor, do you remember how much interaction there was?
It was a relatively low percentage.
It was low.
Very low. So we looked at McNary, I think, God, it wasn't that many. And McNary has density-wise, probably similar to what Bonneville.
McNary was low, but up on the snake, it's actually a bit higher.
Yeah, there was one orifice, like on goose or something, where it was like 16% or something like that. Like a lot of the sockeye were checking it out, and a couple were trying to swim through it.
I think more from a density standpoint, it would be more like McNary, which we didn't see much at.
When you say interaction, do you mean just...
Interaction meant that they didn't have the greatest resolution. They didn't have the greatest resolution with the camera, but it appeared that you could make an argument that the fish actually, you know, came up to it, investigated it, but also could have possibly made contact with the orifice, and so they considered
trying to go through it.
Currently, there's really no edges on it, right?
It's round.
It's more the fish sideways.
Yeah, they turn sideways and they're banging.
They can't get all the way through, so they have to come back out.
Right. But that kind of interaction wasn't something you're talking about necessarily here.
Well, that's a potential concern because every lamprey thing is not supposed to cause, per the biopsy, not supposed to cause any harm to salmon. And interaction could potentially cause a harm, so it's something that we have to be concerned about consider.
Yeah, there's the injury and delay both, and we don't want delay in there and crowding and, you know, so.
Like that's especially why I'm asking about what the interaction is.
And we seem to see a difference in behavior with sockeye at Bonneville than we see up the river. I mean, we've got sockeye in the areas that we wouldn't think they could get into, and lots of them. Just about all the auxiliary water supply systems in both ladders out there have had sockeye in them to some degree, and some more than others. So in Washington, or Bradford was actually, I don't know how many fish we had in there a couple of years ago, but it was...
Yeah.
Lots.
It seems like we have a lot of problems in the mirror sockeye too. So there's potential there and some observations.
I can't remember that we've ever had a
problem with these fish, but we have major problems with lamprey.
Yeah.
It depends on your perspective.
You gotta buy it.
ESA listing is
The sockeye by and large aren't listed down there, so this is more of a fish health concern. Yeah.
What's the scope of the evaluation before you give it the go-ahead?
We have some information on sizes of different orifice openings and the interaction of fish with those openings. And so we've actually settled on a point that we were comfortable with. I have to go back and see exactly where that number is. I think it was like around 2 inches is something that we were fairly comfortable with. Or if you go
back and forth between, like, is it 2? Is it 2.5?
Yeah, right. That was where the fuzzy area was.
So it's in that neighborhood. But it seemed like there was, you know, different locations, different issues.
Yeah, or the other alternative, if you could do it hydraulically, would be to go to a bigger one that salmon could actually go through without making contact.
But
that messes up
the hydraulics.
Yeah, so too much water.
Well, you got 2 foot ahead on each of those orifices right now.
Yeah.
Debang or forebang.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you're looking
for that flow control section, you do.
You're looking at 12 or 13 foot per second through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can affect the hydraulics of the pool. And those ladders are pretty well fine-tuned.
Is there a CFD model for the serpentine section?
I don't think we have a CFD model.
No, there isn't. I asked about it.
Wishful thinking.
I know.
Post 9/11.
So I guess, Trevor, what I would ask is, and I've been meaning to talk. I mean, Steve Junkie kind of sent an email to me a while ago on this topic, but it'd be good to get kind of your perspective, your notes, kind of on what. You guys are comfortable with.
Yeah.
So with 2 foot ahead, that would play on a 2-inch orifice as well, correct? And so, so you're going to get 12 feet per second through that. I don't know if that's going to be something that's going
to
be.
Yeah, that's what we need to look at too.
Yeah, but it's going to be not low velocity.
No.
And the key is, in this section in general, of course, everyone. I mean, our options are fairly limited in terms of addressing passage here, short of gutting and starting over.
No.
Which one thing we're looking at still is potentially this coming winter, and this would be more of an Armony SRWG thing, but installing that prototype wetted wall, right?
Right. I haven't heard much about that, actually.
Yeah,
that's still being discussed.
Well, that would be through the SRWG.
And that's in the AWS. But what you really want is something outside the AWS, which your LPS would be the...
Yeah, so...
The other... major thing that you could do to get the fish around.
You either guide fish out
through them or around,
right?
Or both.
Or both, and that's the concept here is, given the constraints hydraulically in terms of mucking around with the ladder, what can we do?
Well,
what are our options in there?
I guess we, it's
pretty limited.
It's limited, yes, and the flow, the velocity is an issue.
Yeah, that's something that I'm thinking about. Like, is there any way to control that?
Not the head.
Because if you could get that down to a foot, I mean, Leopard may not have so much of an issue.
That's why it's a flow control section. Though.
Lower your forebay.
Yeah, lower your forebay and you can do it, but higher forebays you don't.
Well, doesn't the dowels use something at the top to control that? Or?
Well, it's tilting, or not tilting, but the telescopic
weirs.
But that's a whole other design. I mean, that'd be gutting the upper ladder.
The same thing as tilting weirs. Mm-hmm.
If you think your lamprey budget's thin now, wait till you do that.
Did you guys look at possibly trying to put, this is totally the crazy concept, the LPS build for the section and do the drip in pheromone concept to see if you can guide all the fish to your magic LPS down there? Because people have been talking about trying to pheromone test somewhere. This might not be one of your worst spots ever.
Good point.
Folks are pretty reluctant to try it at Bonneville, at least initially, so... there might be some other locations. I know Bob Rose was floating higher up, in the mid, one of the mid sea dams.
I wants to do that little side channel or, up by Wells. So.
And I keep looking at some of those lamprey projects where you have their collection facilities. There's no, right? It's a dead end, essentially. Yep. So that'd be a good place to test that.
Well, that's why I think it's have an LPS. It's have an LPS collection box there.
Right.
So you can collect and transport. But I don't know. I'll let you lamprey people figure that out. But I have a bad feeling. Orifice and certain sections going to be a little problematic.
Yeah, that's not a snap down.
I mean, I'm thinking it's from both standpoints, from a SAM standpoint, and then if we're going to, 2 feet ahead, small orifice entrance, we're going to have a tough time getting.
Is it still 2 feet at night?
Yeah.
And that's as long as the forebay elevation is the same.
Yep.
It's kind of the genius of the design in some ways. But
yeah, really, the only thing we change at night is the AWS flow, and that's that you can adjust, but not the way the flow entrance, comes down the ladder.
What about if you were to go down to the lower AWS system and the lower and get into the AWS from the serpentine? Because then you could moderate your head in the AWS channel. It's makeup water for the
right
for the count window there, but what and you wouldn't fart with everything else.
This is 3-9 flow, or that's what's up there on that end. I think.
I mean, you get the fish potentially into the AWS system, and then you could collect them.
That's where
there is an LPS already in there.
Yeah,
and so the other project, the LPS project. What we're proposing is at least one ramp, maybe two downstream of both at Washington Shore and Bradford, downstream of the count station, so downstream of your picket leads to guide more away from the serpentine section. Yeah. And then
I don't see a problem at all.
Right
now.
About.
No, that's fine.
Oh. My cursor's talking about not working. Adding something in the serpentine itself.
Here we go.
Well, and then right
here is that short wall. This wall right here is, two or feet or so off of the water surface, maybe three. So the concept that Mary Moser's crew came up with is just kind of a that wetted wall.
Right, that's right there.
Just go over.
That would hopefully, if it works, guide lamprey
out of the ladder.
You could put a floor orifice between the two and slot floor orifice just like you had.
Yeah.
That could work.
Because I don't think the head differential in the AWS between those two pools. I mean, I think it's just
there's a trash rats right there. But the only thing is that any fish that got through there would be into the AWS.
Right.
Well, then you can collect them however you want to collect them.
You mean
not fish?
Oh, not salmon. No. But I'm talking.
If it's like a 1-inch something like that, salmon. Like we have for the cot window.
You can do one half with vertical bars.
Yeah,
a couple verticals.
I mean, the same sort of thing when we lift the pickets.
That'd be okay. We lift the pickets an inch, and although for some reason we had sockeye getting through there too.
Oh yeah, you'd be totally hosed. You might as well.
Yeah, I know. It's hard enough. It's going to be hard enough if this weathered wall thing works to eject because it's upstream of the count window to adjust the counts. But, so that'll take some intensive video to understand the correction. But yeah, if we did that, it'd be interesting.
What was the gap when they had the sockeye get in there? Is that 2.5,
Trevor? There was a one that had 3-inch, and there was one that had 2.5.
Yeah, we stopped. We basically said we're not using 3-inch anymore. Yeah. So now we're down to 2.5. There was talk about doing twos too. And I can't remember where the twos.
No, that's what. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? The count window trash rack?
No, when they had all the sockeye get behind the pickets.
Oh, that was
that was different.
That was different.
Yeah, that
they had an eroded concrete floor or something like that.
It was uneven.
Yeah,
gaps all over the place.
But it wasn't. Yeah, and there was some.
Yeah, the actual gap was kind of unknown, really.
Yeah. Trapezoidal.
The block holes. The block size was known, but what the actual gap was.
I think it's 1.5.
Yeah, and we have a flat plate.
Yeah, you guys made sure that you.
That's good now, but we're not seeing any sockeye in there now. But people are going to see that. That's.
You see it in your blind spot.
Yeah. Whack. But we still had sockeye get in there under a situation that was pretty narrow.
Yeah.
And if you did a lamprey orifice between those two and you closed it during the day.
And closed what?
You closed it during the day.
Sockeye pass at night too. I fairly high percentage.
Less box in there.
I know.
Nothing else passes at night.
No, but not as much. Yeah, sockeye are closer to 12-15%, something like that.
Well, how much overlap do we have between sockeye and lamprey? Good question.
That would be the other thing.
Yeah, it's a little bit. So it's like your lamprey are really hitting in July, and sockeye are waning in July. So you have that.
You're in the tail of the sockeye.
Tails. But the tails may not be so much of an issue as those early fish that really hit the dam hard.
That's a lot of fish. Our snake river fish earlier than the Columbia.
I know, but do we want any sockeye back?
Yeah. You guys were talking about listed. Last time I checked, the mid Columbia
sockeye. No, I'm talking about sockeye.
Sockeye generally don't care where they're from.
I do care where they're from, but I also care if we kill them.
You're going to be more worried about a sockeye, a non-listed sockeye, than lamprey that, good God, if they do get listed, is going to cause all kinds of
problems. Don't forget, half a percent of those are endangered snake river sockeye.
And that's hence the reason I was asking you which ones come first. Do the snake river ones come early? I don't know.
No.
That's Fryer.
No. No.
Why does it matter?
It's in the...
At some point, you take maybe a little risk to help things for lamprey so we don't have to list them. Because if we have to list them, then you and I are going to be...
Oh, we're taking
risks. We'll be working for the next 30 years to figure out.
We're walking a fine line already, so.
Yeah.
I
guess the question is,
I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want sockeye.
I would assume, based on past experience, that if you were putting anything, any kind of orifice that's connecting the ladder to that makeup water supply, you'd be talking 1.5. No more, right?
Yeah. These similar probably to what's the downstream bigot leaves already allowed.
Right, exactly. And we don't see an issue with
vertical
that.
Vertical bars more because it's not that high velocity. So that could be able to weasel through.
We see. I wish I could say that we don't see sockeye behind things that don't make sense, but we do out there. So that's.
Well, since they've fixed one of the group, we haven't seen them behind there.
We've seen them
Not since they fixed it.
Not so much there, right. We've seen them at the Cascade Island exit area. When's the last time we saw them there? It's been a couple of years, I guess.
Where?
Cascade Island exit section.
That was probably due to like trash rack.
No.
And that's been modified.
Yeah. Debris getting them out of the trash rack when they pick it. Yeah. Well, when they picked them to clean them, and then set them back down.
Somehow it's just a little better.
That's
in Washington Shore, we had them in that system there too, but that's been a while. A couple of years anyway, so maybe we can learn from that.
As long as you don't pick the pickets during the season.
Yeah, well, that's sure all bets are off when you do that, obviously.
Make sure they're seated.
So here's another question. What about setting, it's kind of for BPA, but a 4-bay standard, so you're stuck at 1 foot of head over the serpentine section?
How long?
Just during the lamprey pasture season.
September?
Yeah.
Hey, can you talk
I mean, I'm just saying.
Can you, talk,
that
to
idea?
Can you talk to Scott when he's here? That'd be awesome.
I'm just,
I haven't seen him have a coronary in a while.
There already is a limited range, right?
We do hold it in a range of fishing.
Right.
The bulk of spring and summer, there are these periods where you hold it within a foot and a half range, but where that is in the operating range is...
It's a foot and a half range.
They just want it fixed.
Right. Yeah. Wherever that is, it could be at the upper end or the lower end.
Yeah, so as long as it's within.
It needs to be the lower end for this.
Don't the Snaker projects operate?
They're operating at Mott.
They're at Mott, plus or minus a foot. So they have a little tighter range, right?
2 feet. You can go 1 foot below, 1 foot above. So it's plus or minus 1 foot.
Okay.
So they have 2 feet.
This will affect the head on the dam, of course, which affects power.
Right.
Power generation. So I'm sure there's going to be a...
Nice. What about a dial 4-bay operation? That's probably logistically not feasible.
You can't get it. It's not fast enough. No. Depending on where your thing is, you try to get down. Because if you're at the higher end trying to get down, you just won't get down in time.
Oh, yeah, for the whole reservoir.
Yeah.
Big reservoir, 50 miles of water. Yeah.
About the lock.
Put it right up. That'll get it down.
So, with these ORFI, I think I'm hearing that there's some agreement, it's just on the height that's an issue.
Yeah, I think we need to understand. I think
there's still some question on whether lamprey could even get through 12 feet per second. Or
well, that's it, too. I mean, there's that.
Well,
if we get down,
we should have some information, though, from the work, the video work that was done in the Snake River, right? We just kind of go back. I think we're just missing some of the information. We do have some of it. Probably go back and consolidate that a little
bit. But that aside, I mean, yeah, we could, I don't know, depending on the hydraulics, I mean, that's the main thing, I think. I think we could settle on a height.
Oh, yeah.
But it's whether or not this is going to screw hydraulics.
Yeah, lamprey. I mean, you're it's two sides. I mean, you got the velocity through the slot pushing one way as you go narrower, and then lamprey or salmon passage through the slot as you go wider, and, you know, where can we agree on the ground?
How wide are these things?
16, I think it's
16 inches.
16. 12 feet per second, I don't know how many adults are going to want to go through that.
But the attraction is what the issue
is.
Yeah,
they might nose around it.
I don't think they'll get through it, but it's just a matter of, well, they could. But, you know, I mean, it's just the thickness of it matters, too, and whether fish can actually swim through it. But what we're most concerned about is fish trying to get through it.
Making contact.
Yeah, that's more delay.
Delay and then injury.
Injury.
And,
well,
the salmon ladder.
Again, we're kind of at this conceptual stage right now. I guess what I'd ask, again, is if Trevor, if you could send me your notes.
Okay.
And I'll talk with Junkie as well. And maybe we can explore this alternative concept that's floated.
So, yeah, so what are you guys will have this discussion, but you're going to be putting out a 40% design here at some point pretty soon.
Yeah, what's the current schedule?
For the design schedule?
Yeah.
I think we're trying to get something out in the next couple months. And I'm just starting on the hydraulics right now, like this week, trying to get a handle on that. So that should start going quickly.
So I guess maybe it sounds to me like our discussions are going to occur at the 30% design level here. You guys are going
to
take a shot at some stuff.
I guess we'll have to move forward pretty fast once we make that call. One of the things I wanted to bring up here was, given some of the uncertainties, you know, with things like the refuge boxes, you know, I kind of outlined two concepts here. You know, you either take an iterative approach and you could say the same thing about cutting orifices. And you know, just install a few I-beams so you can do a video evaluation of the refuge boxes and orifices for a few weirs versus, you know, just going for it and putting a bunch
that.
In all at once. Either way, none of this stuff is super expensive. It's just a matter of risk and
implementation speed.
Implementation. So if obviously it would be two more years before you could have the opportunity to go back in.
Yeah, it may be.
So
well,
getting money. Short on time.
I guess it ends up. It depends on where we end up here on the compromise. But if we could go with the data we have, we might be able to move a little faster.
Right.
And it's just.
And we don't have much on the refuge boxes. That's the only
thing.
All we have is that Lamprey used them at Washington Shore a lot.
But how much risk is there associated with that? I mean, that's the thing too. It's not much risk.
No.
Risk for
lamprey.
Some fish use them for
and none for salmon.
Days on end, and so the question for lamprey was whether you're causing
a delay
issue.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing? Right.
The you know, Mary and Chris, you know, their thinking is that it's minimal risk that if they're choosing to use them, that
that's their choice.
To use them.
Yeah, they'd do it somewhere
they're
else.
They're not trapped in there; they're just using it.
Yeah.
So.
They would use a refuge somewhere else if it wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah, I think the concern from the project side is maintaining the refuge boxes, the ability to inspect them. Lamprey dies in a refuge box, could have a similar effect to a lamprey dying in an LPD.
Right, so you'd have to design it to be extremely simple and to essentially have no. I'm picturing something that's just a cover. Yeah. It wouldn't hold and
flush
out.
So the flow would just be kind of sweeping the whole thing.
So with this approach, as lamprey navigate through the system, they're basically on a constant bearing. Is that correct?
No.
Well, if I'm looking at the picture there, and they're slipping through each one of the orifi.
Oh, you're talking about the concept here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that maybe you could use them in tandem to guide.
Right,
fish to the.
And I think Chris is saying.
One of the, yeah,
oh, I see.
This thing about constantly changing directions and bearing really screws with their internal compass. I don't know how much.
That's his thinking because it's
hypothesis,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
wonder if that were just a channel.
If it was more like our other control sections, where they don't seem to have as much of an issue. There's something unique about these serpentine weirs that doesn't work for. So this actually, in terms of where we've implemented, where Walla Walla implemented these at other ladders, this actually may be the ideal place to do it in terms of where the orientation question.
I think he's a flow control section.
What if that was one continuous channel?
So that's been discussed as well.
Yeah, with slots to get in.
How would that impact the head and the other issues that were causing that?
Well, yeah. It wouldn't be an issue for Sam.
Those are peanuts.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an issue. Your head is not going
to
swim through a tunnel
like that. You'd have to put
the difference would be larger, right?
Your head would be from the count window to your forebeck.
Yeah,
that's velocity
would be probably. I mean, if you had a big channel and the orifices were truly orifices, you'd have a lot of expansion, contraction type losses.
The three orifice velocity would be really high.
Just put a bunch of ballers in
there. Anyway.
Talk about tortuosity.
It's been discussed that one of the concerns I would have, rather than doing something like this, is that you're in terms of the O&M concerns running into
simplicity
issues by having it closed. But yeah, we've talked about this.
But this is the worst section at any of the fishways in Boston, right?
Unless you count the collection channel turnaround issue.
Right.
Yeah, this bottleneck is high up in the system, so it's kind of high priority as far as that bottleneck analysis goes.
Mm-hmm.
Damn near there.
Will you add any other suggestions?
Yeah.
Conversation piece, because that sounds like a reasonable thing to investigate, if nothing else.
The LPS project. Again, we had the prioritization meeting on 1st of April, and I don't think we made any hard decisions per se there, but I think a few things emerged in terms of your kind of top tier of actions. So I don't know, Seth, you want to kind of go over what our current plan is?
Current list of priorities? Yeah. Or just in general? Okay, so these are them there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So our current plan in the short term is to focus on improvements at Washington Shore, Cascade, I guess, because that's the next season where we could actually do some work. And what we've talked about doing at those ladders is installing an LPS, like at Washington Shore, we talked about installing an LPS downstream of the picket leads that go into the exit or the count station, but upstream of the UMT junction. Fixing the LFS, we're exploring options there for the air fix. We've also identified an area of high velocity at certain tailwaters that we're trying to develop a fix for that as well. See, is that it at Washington Shore, Sean?
So what's the schedule for that?
So the schedule for that is develop the design, get something, plans and specs developed by, I don't know, maybe this time or earlier than this time next year, so we can build something during the winter of 16-17.
Okay.
I think is the outage period for that. The LFS... our plan is to try to do that fix earlier, a little earlier next year when tailwater's low, sometime around October, because we don't necessarily need the
keep
water.
Track, trying to keep track of your acronyms. The LF, which was the entrance?
So the
Lamprey Flume System.
The LFS is the Lamprey Flume System, the big one on Washington Shore Ladder, okay. That we've got the
with
air.
The entrance. Air that's entrance. The, and so your schedule for that is, you said?
Schedule for that is to develop the plans and specs this year, and then maybe October next year when the tailwater is low, and we can do some work there, do the actual fix.
In water work during the water work period?
Not necessarily, because we don't need to dewater the ladder for that. This summer we plan to do some operational testing, tweaking valves, and just seeing what we can learn from changing the operations to maybe improve some stuff there.
Seth, so, do you guys have a schedule for that yet?
Tentatively, I think we were looking at June, July, something
like that.
We're trying to look at when the tailwater condition was kind of the worst, right?
Yeah, okay.
In terms of performance,
lowest tailwater,
the drained area issue.
Can it be just a couple days out there?
So for this season, the LFS will operate the same as it did last year. There were no changes made this Lamprey passage season and last Lamprey passage season?
So my group will be operating at the Fishfield unit, so it'll be myself. Right now it's a team of four. Mm-hmm. We're trying to bring on two more people so that we can keep it running 7 days a week, not continuous running.
Right.
We're also looking at three treatment levels, 30% and 15 were tried last year. We're going to either intentionally or just by necessity add in a zero. We shut down all the auxiliary water and just have the pumps that supply that LPS system running. So that would be our condition. Like, for example, if we could only run it during the week, weekends would be just LPS pumps only. Mm-hmm. And then it would start back up again Sunday nights.
Will any of that change the entrained air issue?
I guess. Well, if there's no attraction water, there'll be no entrained air.
And no, that's why we're 30% of it. That's what about, like, say 30% of what we should be operating at.
Mm-hmm. So that's not much of a help, the sounds of it. So what's the intensive part of this? Do you have to have people out there?
Yeah, it's trap and haul. So you have to run
trap and haul.
Every day.
Yes, sorry.
So ideally, we're working to bring on a couple more folks and keep it rolling.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the operation part of it. Okay. So kind of limping along like last year, really, sounds like.
Exactly. Until we can do some of these structural mods.
Actually, yeah.
So the structural mods that you're looking at for your October work window, are they going to require any operational constraints?
Potentially, depending on our construction techniques, we talked about trying to access the LFS from the deck as opposed to getting in the tail race or something like that. So we still need to flesh all that out.
Yeah, those need to be coordinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Are you guys going to put together a budget for that? Because I know Brian's a little concerned about how much money he has and prioritizing.
He's bleeding into this thing.
Well, I was just trying to figure out what is he going to prioritize most. I mean, do you
put a lot of money in his basket?
Something else?
Yeah, that's kind of an ongoing.
Spent a lot already on it. I've got to finish it.
Exactly. So, we have kind of a range of things we're currently planning based on the prioritization discussion, though. It seemed like it made sense to the group to keep working on this.
He just wants to fix.
Because even if you don't extend it to the four bay, which I don't see us doing.
Yeah, he's not worried about that. He's worried about the budget growing.
Yeah.
And then having to cut back something else. Because that never happens.
Yeah. It's not like we haven't put some of the other money into that. Into Lamprey too, though.
I know.
I mean, it's a prioritization issue.
Well, yeah, but he's saying like, it's going to take, it costs a lot more. Other work that he
I guess because the line item in the budget, though, you can't really move money around.
It's changed.
That's the problem. That was soap.
I'll go get the soap.
Okay. Leads me to the bathroom.
Just to kind of revisit this. Prioritization discussion ended up with a few items that were in different tiers, and hopefully the folks on the phone or who are following via the web meeting can see this, but we had kind of these what we considered mandatory tasks, which are the kind of improvements to the existing systems, plumbing, electrical, accounting systems and whatnot, to make sure they're fully operational. Then the flume system air fix, and then what we are considering these high priority tasks. These are the ones that the team is definitely, going to move on design, especially for Washington Short. Like Seth said, that's our construction window for that would be 16-17 winter. So we're focused on Washington Short right now and Cascades Island potentially. So the second tier of these, this is just, it depends on how. As Tom brought up, I know Brian is thinking a lot about this, but how do these tasks fit into the overall Lamprey program budget, and do we want to invest a lot in those right now, in addition to all the design considerations and O&M and whatnot? So, there's going to be more discussion over the next
month or
two on whether we're going to pursue any of these kind of second-tier projects. And then a few things kind of fell out. Notably, I think one of the things that's going to fall out is even though there's high potential for some benefits to having an LPS up in that makeup water supply channel at Cascades Island, I think the thinking is with the picket lead modifications that we've done in the last year, and putting in new LPSs downstream of the count station at Washington Shore, that there's kind of a reduced benefit relative to the cost and the O&M concerns and having a separate counting system and whatnot at Cascades Island. So for now, we're shelving that concept. So.
Have you sent that to Brian? So you got the most updated fancy spreadsheet?
Yeah, he has Excellent. This.
Yeah. So then I have to remind him about her.
No.
So Shell on the agenda, that's 1B you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Any more questions schedule-wise, et cetera, LPS project?
So Shell, can you include Sienna on the Lamprey projects?
Yeah. Yeah,
the spreadsheet and stuff, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. Do you have anything you needed?
No.
All right.
I'm going to cut out if that's all right.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm going to suffer with the rest of us.
All right. The dowels.
Smart man.
Dowels.
I'll bring up.
We have sent the Beagle review package of drawings out to the regional fish managers. And I think the due date is the 24th for comments.
Yeah,
I haven't received any comments
yet. He received mine verbally.
Yeah, I got Gary's verbally. No comment billed.
Except for the one drawing.
Yeah.
Pick a drawing.
Which we'll take care of. But we're looking to advertise in early June and then have a contract, by September. The team has been working very aggressively with the construction sequence and schedule, and trying to fit as much as we possibly can to the in-water work window. Yeah. A couple of things we'd like to do, we're going to ask the project, and we've asked the project to consider dewatering the east ladder for the entire in-water work period, so we don't have impacts to fish while we're constructing over there, which may mean adjusting the north ladder dewatering schedule, maybe shifting it into the last couple of weeks in November, into the first week of December, and while the contractor's mobilizing, in the early December period.
It's really up to you guys.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I am.
So, we'll move forward with planning for that.
No passage of the dowels for a while.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Just one. Well,
there'll be the north ladder.
North ladder will be up, and they're going to provide
some. There won't be overlap.
North ladder will be up. I mean, the traction and all that stuff's an issue. But it's not the same.
Or the other option is to have a little overlap.
Yeah. So, we're pursuing that. And as far as construction schedule goes, the one thing that we're looking at in the first in-water work period that might spill over into March.
Take care of the fallback.
During the March period, we're trying to, get all the work in the forebay done during the in-water work period, and in March we would be looking at some fracturing of bedrock in the excavated section for the pipe. Placement would occur the following season, but in preparation for that, what they're going to do is go in and drill holes into the bedrock and make it Swiss cheese, essentially, and fill it with expansion grout and fracture the rock and then remove it. And that's all scheduled to occur during the in-water work period. What may spill over following that in-water work period in March is the protrusions that, stick up after all this fracturing and cleaning up that bedrock surface, which they would probably take a hoe ram in there, and scrape and continue to clean. A whole ramp.
So this would be during
March.
Sounds like a college day.
Is that your fraternity, Trevor?
So we would want to do the whole ram work at night. And then the cleanup during the days, and it would probably occur in 3-day blocks. Where they do a 30-foot section, go in and backfill, move on to the next 30-foot section. Go in and backfill, and then
how many 30-foot sections are
three.
There?
Three.
Yeah. And what's your
It's 10 days of that type of hoe ram work where we expect some kind of excessive noise and vibration.
Yeah.
10 days total or per section?
Total. It'd be 3 days per section.
Okay.
And so what we're looking for, in discussion here is defining the window of time outside the in-water work period. And we have the flexibility, when the ladder comes back in early March and we need to pass steelhead, we can wait until that initial push goes through.
That's what I'm worried about.
So
steelhead passage.
We want to define that because we need to get this into the contract language.
Why does it have to happen in March?
It's too massive of a project to do everything in that in water work period.
So it's
we've been able to condense the schedule.
What you're worried about?
Excuse me.
And how important is it that you have this done this year, not the following? Sounds like you continued on. So why can't we do it in the
following fall?
The way this schedule set up, we're trying to get everything done in two seasons rather than three.
Well, that would be the second season. So this activity will take.
Yeah, we're going to be asking for work outside the in-water work period in the second season as well, and another north ladder dewatering such as we have this, whatever we can coordinate this year, but completely have the east ladder down the second season as well. And the team, I think, has done a pretty good job of condensing the schedule. And
two seasons of the ladder down? That seems really.
Yeah.
I mean, most of this work is not even in the Ford Bay. Once you get the coffers, all that stuff up.
They're gonna do the bore.
Okay.
They're looking to potentially start that in November, the following in water work period.
I think it would be good to have, maybe it's an O&M issue, but to really step through that.
Yeah, Pat couldn't be here today.
More than today, more than just this, but to actually get some
kind of written schedule.
That written schedule is being worked on right now. All right.
You're going to put together an MOC, I'm assuming, and have some delightful arguments.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be a place to do it, or have a special figure way to actually act on that.
Yeah, we're
looking for another meeting, but just the. Really, because this is pretty complex, and I was a little surprised that we'd have to be in the Form Bay 2 days.
I thought we were going to be, that's why we were pushing so hard to get all the stuff done this year, so next year we wouldn't
all the work is down.
No, it's two full seasons.
I knew it'd be two full seasons, but I thought most, getting it all done most this year, that we would not have the impacts of the lab.
We're getting the Form Bay prep work, for the coffer dam, the footings, everything built. Prepared this year, and then we're going to go in and bore the following year, and let's start from the downstream end and work up.
Yeah.
And once we get close, within 15 feet of the Ford Bay, we want to make sure the copper dam and everything is ready to go.
Make sure you're lined up with
floating line up.
Is that a pipe?
But after that bore is done, then it's slipping in the pipe, grouting, connecting the sections.
You can do that, and that's not going to affect any ladder operations. That's all.
Right. Technically, this hoe ram work is, if there's a fishway above and a fishway over here. It's
right.
It's within that, 100 foot.
Yeah. So once you get that coffer, you're going to be working behind that the whole time. So you're technically not in the Ford Bay, but you're going to have activity right there. So.
Right. There's a ladder that's going right above the work site. And placing all those parts and pieces in there with cranes and working around the ladder, so there's activity, and that's why we want to have the east ladder down for the entire time.
Okay, well, we need to get a detailed schedule and activity. So what's going on?
Because if you guys aren't, partly you're not working 24/7, 7 days a week. Maybe you want to have a ladder back a little early, and you at least can get passage when the weekends we're not working. I don't know what their schedule. If you guys are planning on working.
No, we're talking about bringing the ladder back, per the FPP schedule, on time, but doing that remaining bedrock work to clean
while
it up.
The ladder's running. So that's this is a nighttime, daytime operation.
It's
three days a week, and 4 days for fish to pass. Or how long then does it take to get it all done versus getting it all done at once, and all that stuff is to be talked about.
The question I have is whether the east ladder with some activity going on is better than the north ladder with no attraction.
For the winter.
Yeah, for November.
I don't know. For when?
Or for whenever. It's,
Well, it'd be winter. That'd be the only time.
Just run away. We'll talk about your FGE.
Okay, we'll continue. But that's basically the
Tim's going to be writing your MOC anyway, so.
Yeah, we'll probably have a special call or
dinner way.
Better get done because the fish ants are going out as we speak.
Tammy, we're rewriting that
card.
Yeah.
fishheads.
Yeah, Fidel's. Took them out in May 7th because we got the
fresh fillers
taken away.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah,
Tammy just sent it.
What's up?
What'd you just get on your just iPhone or something?
Yeah, just sent it. Sent it by
we don't have one. Outage.
What?
I just sent that.
Well,
for Fidel's.
Someone's had a meeting here, so didn't get it on. BlackBerry fucks.
I am over here multitasking.
She is multitasking.
What did you just send out? What's that?
Huh? You're going to force how many units? Just one or two?
Both.
What?
But it's one at a time, and it's during the night.
Never happens.
For how long?
5 hours each.
Okay.
And when?
May
7th. May 7th.
No fish there.
That's
middle of run.
Peak.
No choice. This is no choice. They have these brushes on this. It's an electrical thing. I don't understand it, but they're failing. And if they do fail,
smack Jason.
It's catastrophic. Right. So they need to address this within a month.
These units never have problems.
Oh no, this
never
have
problems.
Remember, we got memos.
Especially two of them at once.
The three letters and it starts with B and ends in an A, saying this is never going to be a problem.
Never be a problem. Now, one year we've had two. 1 12-month period, we've had two.
It's not both at the same time. One at a
time. I know.
No,
it affects both. This affects both units.
It does affect both.
Affects both units. If you get that, you could have both of them fail.
Right.
And we were told,
yes.
Yeah. We're never going to have cast or fail to both.
Snowball's chance for that to happen.
I don't even know if that was included.
Murphy's Law?
Yeah.
That spreadsheet?
That's why I wanted to have the auxiliary system in there.
Probably a revised version. You probably don't want costs.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, 8 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah, as long as you think it's going to be enough time, because honestly,
I would imagine our contracting people would probably not want to see
their thing cost estimate. That's worst case scenario.
Oh, fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just kind of go to the morning.
Like why are the brushes failing? Like how is the new fix going to make it somehow?
I was meaning to do that.
They're working with the vendor right now because the vendor said, oh, it shouldn't be a problem. You shouldn't see this wear. And they're looking at it and they're saying, we're seeing the wear. And there's all kinds of residue in there and everything. So they're saying this is a problem. So the vendor needs to get out there and look at it himself. And we can't get them out until May 7th.
I'm just hoping that's not something.
So you're going to be able to fix it and have him look at it at the same time.
Bearings are
out. What you don't know is that this could happen again in a few more months.
It could.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to be ready.
September, you know, 15th or so would be perfect time.
Because there's only 1 month runtime on this, so we need to be prepared to.
Yes. Get a stockpile of brushes on hand.
A couple times during the season.
Once every month.
Until we figure out what
the brush cleaning.
Maybe they're installed wrong or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Well, let us know.
The units are.
Yeah.
They should notice that.
So we seem to have a problem with things like that.
So how long will it take to fix it?
They're saying they can get them both in one night.
Oh. But you're going to break it.
Five hours each, worst case scenario.
Oh.
You're going to break it up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, do one in case something catastrophic happens, you have the other one for the next day, and then do the next one next day. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully.
All this AWS talk is a good segue to Natalie's update.
That is.
Are you still on the phone, Natalie?
No problems.
Here. Did I go?
Yeah.
Okay. So the John Day pumps are, you know, number four still down. Recently, and I hope Miro's still there, we implemented a 200 revolution per minute running time, a running speed on the remaining pumps because we have a vibration issue. Miro, how is that going? I think it was implemented last week. Do you know if everything's good there?
Yeah, I think it was accomplished, and the fish loved it. They actually, 70% of fish are migrating through the North Fishway. So, good job, Nathan.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that, Miro. Yeah. Okay, so on the number four pump, where we're at right now is the 28th, which is, I think, next day. We are actually having a big 60% design meeting to hash out the new design of four. And which will also have implications for the other pumps. We have investigated using potable water as our cooling and lubricant for the new one, and we're going to be the contractor will be buying some long lead items like shafts, probably lower bearings, coming sometime in May. So that's roughly where we're at. Do people have questions for me?
Sorry, I forgot to bring your...
So have you guys...
Okay, that's all I have.
Well, so Natalie, a question. I saw that there's a... On the CRFM budget, there's a North AWS ladder cost. So I'm assuming there's going to be a cost sharing between you guys and the contractor to get this all fixed.
Well, so right now, I think that's Tom's voice, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay. The failure analysis said that it is a design issue, which was I'm paraphrasing, but it was a design build by the contractor. So we feel we have pretty good grounds to say this is your problem. You pay to fix it. However, we do have indications that this change to water could include some costs from us. I don't know the details right now. It's going to be basically a legal issue, and I'm keeping legal informed as we go along.
So then, Natalie, this is Brad. So the money that's in the S&T spreadsheet is probably a placeholder.
Yeah, and I don't know how much that is. It's like $550, $550,000, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the number is.
I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know the exact figure. But it is a placeholder.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks, Natalie.
I'm going to get off. Here.
Tom's favorite subject.
Hey, I like the photos, though.
We'll wait until John's back. Let's see if there's anything else. This might be a short meeting, because we're going to have to wait for Pacific States on the pit stuff. I think they're planning to be here at 11.
Okay.
If I remember right.
10:30.
So they'll probably take them about 20 minutes to get checked in and find their way here.
We get lost on play around.
We already covered the performance standard testing. Oh, this is all rear cinch.
Pacific Central and Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah, so I kept this on the agenda, even though we don't really have. So Miro had mentioned at the last meeting the. That's fine.
Okay.
The overflow weir removal concept for John Day South, which I know has been kicked around for a few years at least, raised as a potential something to consider.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for us, again, I have a placeholder for this in the Lamprey Minor Mons, and maybe Brad can weigh in on this. We were talking with Langsley about this the other day, overflow weir removal.
Lower three at John Day.
I don't know what folks' thinking is on this.
I have a recollection of that conversation.
obviously have a misbalance passage at that dam, what I just heard. So you need to go on the south side.
So the question is, I don't know if this is more of an SCT question.
It's actually the John Day River from what I've heard, but anyway, that's another issue.
John Day River running a little too deep.
Process-wise, we don't have a project for this other than if it is prioritized within the Lamprey Minor Mods project. Langsley seemed to remember that this was considered previously, maybe this is me just talking with, maybe you weren't in on this, but that this had been considered in the past and that he had a recollection of some potential structural issues, like, you know, some of these weirs are actual
structural members.
So. Anyway, we'd have to look into it a bit more, but the question is, again, it's not currently a project, so this, I don't know if this is an SCT discussion rather than a Fitterwick discussion about whether this is something
well,
the Corps should
I think
be pursuing.
We may see, I don't know, I'm going to say it. We may see some increased focus on that south ladder again, especially with the year that we seem to be having coming at us this year. Temperature yep. issues, John Day River flow, distribution of fish. I think it's worth looking at. Matt Kiefer did a letter report here a couple months ago regarding the information that they've collected the last couple years on that. I'm sure you've seen mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I haven't had time to sit down and focus on.
And I don't that know was, if that went out. That should go out to Federwig.
Yeah, it's not a... It, I think it... I just talked to him on the street, and next thing you know, he's got
a letter report. That
got a letter John report, has. Which I thought was pretty cool. But that's something. There's a few things I think that need to be pulled together on the South Ladder just to take a hard look at that again. Like to get that on the agenda.
Bob, does this ring any bells? The structural question of Langley,
Federwig, I guess this is where it happens.
It would have been probably when the South control section was looked at. I don't know.
And that was a while back.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't remember the lower weirs being structural.
Yeah, I don't either. That's
I'm trying to remember when we did that.
News to me, but.
Gary, did we look at that when we were doing the upper control section? Did we look at moving the lower weirs during that?
I don't think we did. This was more of an issue of we knew fish were having a little bit of trouble going through that section at all dams. It wasn't just John Day, and so. We were looking at removing those weirs, and that's why we did the north, because we were there and doing stuff. The south, we weren't there, so we didn't do it. But it might be worth going back and looking at that, looking at temperature differences in that ladder, water quality differences in that ladder. As Miro mentioned, we seem to have a difference. I mean, that north ladder at John Day passes more fish, you know, as a percentage than just about any north ladder out there, or opposite side from the powerhouse ladder, wherever you are.
That's mostly spring, though. Mm-hmm. And we always get some weird dynamic in the spring where they all jump over
to that side.
Back to south, we never could figure out.
And I don't know that that's a problem. I guess what I'd like to look at is if we're seeing a delay issue that's unusual there, and I don't think we are, but I just want to make sure that we're not, because it's been throwing onto my table.
Is that going to be addressed in the letter report? Timing?
Yeah, I mean, he gets into the lower ladder performance for salmon and lamprey.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of points that there is some differences there, and it is a little longer than
a little bit.
Other ladders, and so it's not unfounded that there could be some. Hey, Mira, we're talking your subject here. Lower south ladder. One thing that I've like to do is maybe dust off our investigation of that south ladder overall, and see how passage, how we're doing with that ladder, because you just mentioned we got a big shift over to that side, to the north side. We see that not just as a result of what you were doing there, with the pumps, but also other times of the year that aren't really well explained. It may have to do with the water quality going through that ladder, and I think that it bears some. Well, we're running out of other things to do, so let's do this.
At
least Gary's on it.
I'll reopen this thing, and then I'm going to retire.
This is what we're allowed to play with. We can't really check other
groups. I know, but so I'd like to reopen this up and just look at it and make sure there's not something that we've left undone there. Got that. Those south or those lower three weirs are one issue, and I don't know what else you do. I mean, what you could do is what we're looking at doing at Lower Granite this year, if the water difference, the temperature differences are
like a chimney,
are enough. Yeah, but I don't know if that'll help, because the tailwater
might be more stratified.
Might be more stratified or less. Because there's less cooler water there, so the tailwater is not as different. But we did get a difference in that ladder versus tailwater. And so
that's tributary flow, maybe.
And it's John Day River.
Yeah, you definitely get John Day River water. Because when John Day is real muddy, north, the south will be all muddy. The south ladder will be all muddy, and the north will be clear.
Yeah.
It's very evident.
So have you heard from the University of Idaho yet? Have you? So
yes.
Did they find
he didn't include you in it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, sorry. And I've been so busy, I just let it kind of sit. But, you know, I'm just, from what I read, I thought it was worth looking into. Okay. You brought the issue up. You know, so there's those three weirs, taking a hard look at that and making sure there's not something that we could do to improve passage or need to do to improve passage is, I think, appropriate for John Day. So something to, tough for Tom to do.
What's the issue with the three weirs? They're essentially non-functional because they're always, the tailwater is always higher than them. So the and this is what at the John Day North ladder, when we did the entrance and lower ladder modifications, one of the things we did is remove those lower three weirs to try and kind of increase the flow signature from the ladder and reduce the number of obstacles. Okay. Makes sense. It seems to improve things a little bit.
So Sean, you'll send that?
We'll get that. I think John has it. Send it around.
I think it'll not only
can I send it to Gary and
you can email
John.
I don't know. They
wouldn't take my card, so I can not get back in.
No.
What, did you take your note card?
No.
Really?
No, as long as you don't plan on.
And we'll figure out internally, I guess, how
to, you know. No.
I'm not sure card? If this is a FPOM question
business card?
First.
We have our.
Do we?
He's got a
Tomahawk. We don't have a team. So you have to know. Someone has to be assigned and dedicated to looking at it. So maybe I don't know if that's Miro or.
Oh my God!
I'm pulling all that information.
I hope at least 3 days.
Somebody might need to go to the train. That's, I guess, an action item.
It's like someone sees some sense to
figure out.
I've had it.
I can't have a strategy for pulling that information together.
Okay.
That's what makes these to the notes. That's all.
What is that report on?
For the south ladder, all of the questions that Gary was bringing up. Temperature of the weir.
Temperature and water quality. And I mean, there's some
performance of the south ladder. John,
yeah, let's just take a second look at it. Make sure there's nothing laying.
I wanted to emphasize it's one of the steps which is included in the code, which is not, amazingly enough, it's not number one. Number one is the wind gauge, which I think I would do this one first because that's where we see fish problems. Wing gates are quite, you know, in the middle of the collection channel. The fish are appear to be passing through just fine.
And they're for
I'm not quite, quite understanding why wing gates are ahead of.
I agree with that because, I mean, they're there for hydraulic reason, and those weirs aren't really doing us anything
hydraulically.
Maybe structurally, but not hydraulically.
We have been conducting the weekly
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't there some idea out there to get Salila Falls back?
Yeah, Congressman was asking that question.
For 2 weeks.
Yeah. Try to bring some
weekly evaluations they cover. The collection challenge.
I don't think the tribes weren't upset. Yeah, but they didn't want it.
They're
going
to expose it.
Right.
It's stand
out.
So, yeah, maybe not, you know, put a PM on or something like that and make a project, but at least have
this is info gather of whether we have an issue.
Is there an issue there? Are we okay? And it comes down to timing, how fast fish move through there.
It needs to be, I mean, if in terms of removal, if that's what you're talking about?
Well, I'm talking about just taking a hard look at the south ladder altogether from a water quality standpoint and the weirs. I mean, just look at it in general, make sure we're good there.
I think it had been done, and we just have to look at those older reports.
Yeah. There's some old reports out there. But
in my view, they have been sufficient, right?
Well, this field unit did a lot of work on.
And then we did some follow up too. So we should.
That's what I'm concerned about. Gary's digging some skeletons.
So I'm digging skeletons. Yeah. So I don't know the status of that, but I do. It does concern me enough to at least go back and take a second. Maybe there's nothing there, but let's just think of it.
And again, the estimated cost is what, $100,000, which appears to me somewhat high. We need to hire a concrete capping contractor, right? And that's
pretty simple.
Well, you know, if you do some pit tag work over there, you might get a deal.
Again, and symmetrical action on the north fish way has been very successful. Why not? It's just, again, pretty low cost by comparison with everything else we do. Sure. And it cannot hurt. It's obviously...
Well, I think you got to kind of make a case that there's, you know, some effect there. So that's why I talked to Matt about that. He's got that letter report out. There's some older information, of course, out there as well. And part of it's going to argue towards maybe doing this, and the other parts of it may argue for doing something else or not. But just that there has been some issues in the past, let's put it that way. And let's just take a look at it.
Yep. All right.
Leave it for Trevor to...
We can take a quick break.
I just took
working out.
I remember bringing it out.
Sorry, Brad.
I want to make sure you have something to do.
Oh, there's plenty. All the high-hanging fruit. I did.
Play around. All that high-hanging
fruit. Fall off the ladder a couple times. It's just kind of an agenda placeholder.
It's watered up.
It's watered up. There you go. AFF is watered
up. How's the after-action report going?
John's been working on it, so this is in the final. Okay.
Be a while. So,
that's why Doug's eyes were something very large. More than normal.
More than normal.
Yeah, let's take a 10-minute break. Sound good?
Hey, Sean, before you take a break, this is George.
Hey, George.
Is John available there?
I know. Just a moment.
That's why we're taking a break.
He got pulled into talking about his FGE study because something was a little kitty-wampusy.
Your FGE study, George.
Somebody's FGE study.
Okay, all right. What time are you guys reconvening?
10 minutes.
Okay, all right.
So where are the cookies?
This is not my meeting.
Tammy, we're starving. Don't you know?
Mom!
Curl up and get everybody. Are you serious?
She's exercising power.
I'm plugged in.
I got some Girl Scout cookies to sell you. Damn it!
If she did, I would buy them.
I know.
I bought it. And when it's like at half, it literally has like 5 minutes left. It's like,
it tells you when it's 50. Oh, you just sell by the bar.
They'll just go hard.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm charging.
So, have you started the 50?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I like that. Sean, have you heard Sean Pacific States guys?
Ooh, they really I think they were going to be here.
I guess they got to take a break. Is there a lighter on it too?
That's a MacGyver one?
No, I'll use the bottle opener.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I had a cigarette lighter still in there.
And
you can vape off of it too.
Have you seen the new E-Cracks?
Lit up.
No. I don't know how much we're talking about.
There's a commercial for it.
That's what they're called?
Yeah, well, it's like a joke. It's like, but it's got like this little mesh crystal ball with all the fat in there. It's like an e-cigarette. People are smoking it.
I want quality of that. Never really saw
it.
What
did it mean? It should have.
I love the one thing
that's just a little methyl in the chest at that. I'm vaping all that.
That stuff is probably just horrible.
What they say, they said it has a lot of formaldehyde.
I saw that story on NPR, and there was both sides of it. One of them was, but it's so low, it's basically like background.
The one person was saying, it's actually much higher than background.
Yeah. Well, people are like cooking up their own concoction.
Right. It goes back.
Remember our GIS guy, David Hines?
Yeah.
He does that. He brings it to work. He's got this whole plastic kit.
A kit?
He folds it open. He sits there and like four he formulates things and he's got his vials and test tubes.
And that's what talks and like if you touch the nicotine, it's like toxin. That's on your skin.
Oh, they said get a sore throat.
You just put it in your lungs, it's all right.
Well, you put it in a big
well, it gets diluted in whatever little vial.
Oh,
your neighbor, like the pure stuff.
I know. Are there chairs?
So he's not smoking cigarettes anymore. He's smoking.
He did switch completely.
He did.
But he'll sit there in the office and just.
In his office there. What does Howard say when he comes in?
No. I keep waiting for somebody. Nobody said anything. And he mixes up all these different sets, so one day it'll be like bubblegum, the next day it'll be raspberry. Yeah.
So this is like a chew.
Huh.
Is
it
raining?
It is.
Well, they smoke in the office. I wonder how this old lady likes that, because she was always good.
They're, you know, they've had this kind of relationship.
Yeah.
It's looking like the valley is as low as it's been. And I
agree.
Don't quote me, but it may be.
Sounds like she's learned that she's a little bit crazy. She needs to back off a little bit.
She's not a little bit crazy. She's just way crazy.
But I saw this like Facebook post where she like straight up admitted she was crazy.
She's tried to commit suicide.
Oh yeah, she's a Korean dragon. David Hines is like the most laid back individual here. Yeah, and she's just like throwing stereo systems through his van window.
She's a dragon. Dragon.
He's got a shop where he can lock himself into one shot.
It's a secret.
Yeah. Literally.
They had a wedding where everybody showed up from all around the world and they canceled back the morning of the wedding. So they're scared.
I think most of the door jams inside the house, he's tried to lock himself in, have been kicked in by her. And not replaced.
Solid.
It's scary.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little nervous. I'd fuck her a little bit. I think I'd almost rather have that than the deathly quiet anger stare of the wife. She just won't talk to you.
Yeah, you could know what it's thinking.
Because you know it's just festering. It's just like this, like it's a geyser going to explode in your face, and you just don't know when. It's just like the unknowing. It's like it could go off at any moment.
My ex wasn't like that. It was. She was angry with most of the time. That would fire up.
It's not justified. Half the time, it's just you doing something.
Yeah.
Well, at least it gives you an opportunity to pull back on it. Like, mine's just triggered so fast, I'm like, screwed, no matter what. I'm like, before I realize it's something stupid, I'm miserable.
Oh, trust me, there's times. There's certain cycles in the... Yeah, it's like, oh, crap. The boy and I say, it's a I think you've got to go walk about. Because my daughter and her are, like...
So that's why I just say, well, that's
where I'm going. It's a walkabout time, so I have to be out of the house for a while.
There is something to that. I say, like, even in sororities, there's eventually the girls conform.
Start sinking
in the
house.
So they're all crying. Oh,
they to it anyway. Manners
of a master! Well, that's what's nice about having a little problem, you know, so you can... Yeah. Somebody's having an issue.
This is your house.
There you go.
As long as stuff gets done.
I think we're at the 95th percentile.
Were you able to do smoke grades too, or did you...
We did.
Please and kind.
But that we did. That was the lunch club grades. There's just CODA.
There was you have to do some insulation, electrical.
Yeah.
Like every little limb falls in your house, and you got to go through your entire house and upgrade everything to electrical code.
Yeah. So like all the upstairs rooms now have smoke detectors that tie together.
Yeah. Have to be hardwired.
Hardwired. Yeah. Battery
backup. We'll be glad. I'm in a wildfire hazard. That was only $6,000.
What?
Yeah. I was trying to figure out the strategy. Okay, is that because they're worried about the forest coming and burning my house down, or my house burning the forest? Either one. They're worried about the house burning the forest down. All the guys, sprinkler guys, say it's super cheap. All the sprinklers do is suppress for like 15 minutes. Enough time to get your ass out, and then it goes up.
Where are the sprinklers? Outside?
No.
Your house?
Yeah.
The insurance company may have to do that?
No.
There's another one.
Multnomah County.
Oh, there's a whole bunch.
Never heard of that. Really?
No, because they don't want to spread to some other...
Well, that's what they're saying, but I'm like, the sprinklers don't stop the fires 9 times out of 10.
Well, I don't know. Maybe nothing to this.
It's good to fire to set them off.
A good guy.
it's a pretty good fire.
I know he does that.
Because they don't want, obviously, they don't want the fire to be seen on a small thing, otherwise you just drown your house in 500 gallons of water.
And add plumbing to your ceiling?
Oh, yeah. I've got large pipes in all my pools. It's its own individual side system.
So that was only $6,000?
Yeah, well, because I can use city water. But my sister, they live out, they had to put a 500-gallon tank system on theirs. So there's like 12.
Gravity system?
Yeah, she was pretty good. She was building that thing. We had these power files. We got all the water we could have.
The struggle in Lake Oswego is real.
Whole flop.
The water struggle?
Yeah. It's not like a swim home in the county.
Aren't they in Lake Oswego?
You're close, aren't you, though?
I'm literally like half a mile.
You're like a truck. I can't even read this stuff.
Yep, we're right there on that four line. Lake O would have been nice. Lower taxes. And
I can see that that way. You know, if there's no problem with the pass it there, then there's nothing.
The worst thing about Noma was, they might kill me. The other reason you had to have it was, oh, your fire pass season is undercooked.
You're thinking of guys that are sitting there changing.
You can do that. That's a pretty simple thing to do.
No, what it is, it's the lobbyists for the sprinkler companies going, no, that's really serious.
The water's been really taking
some quality of water.
There's
so many
people like, we should be more efficient.
Well, I think some of the crews take care of it.
That's the genesis of where this is coming from.
Upgrade these codes.
Honestly, the installation one didn't bite me too bad.
So, are you like on the edge of a national forest?
Trying to say,
to spread out more or something.
I'm trying.
Yeah, unless there's anything that maybe is
that will be
Look at that. Here it is.
John Day River.
We got like this form or something. Got the grades that needed to be done.
For that time,
Need to turn it over. No, you're right. It's the
everything we ever wanted to do.
To some degree, you're polluting the water.
Well, even if we had it, we still could have got all the upgrades. But we were able to get all the upgrades. Who knows how much it's going to be.
It's like 3 degrees or something. And we felt that was a well within the range of fish to tolerate anyway.
Our bill was always
our initial estimate was 45. We just got the final estimate at 68. Yeah, so they go to the insurance company and they have the money.
I look at this we're all helping them out.
I could do the same thing though, and then I would pocket that money if I need a strategy or request it.
Did you have to get engineering drawings?
I did. I had engineered trusses, but I didn't have the drawings. Because my exterior walls were all the same except for just one side.
So you were just replacing more than
that? Yeah, engineer trusses.
You have to get structural review.
That's what you wonder.
Yeah, not the city.
But that's not what John was saying. It was
I did inspections on my exterior walls. They reviewed my plans. I drew my own plans. I took technical drawing in college, so I was able to
do some of
that. They just draw it up, and I was like, "You see, I'm come back and say this is a good one."
It looks like it's turning.
I might have all they want to do is like see the plans
everywhere.
It automatically changed.
I don't know how much time.
Supposedly, he had to plug mine in. I didn't really have to do it. It was like $5,200. Might cost me a bottle of a Macallan 18-year-old.
That's for the
So just let me know if we'll go down the city.
It recognizes. Okay.
I know the flavor of the month. This month is really rich. Yeah, that'll die. So we walked in there, I'll take care of like half an hour. So we can actually grow more. What else do you know? Is it Scotch or bourbon? Is it Scotch?
So, you know, while all the upgrades are great, and we pay for some extra ones. Still, if this was December,
that's ideal time.
How's that be? So
fans constantly coming in and out of the house, having to lock the box and back around. Hey, try having a construction guy that likes to fish more than he likes to work.
That's your problem.
That's my buddy. He's a real good friend of mine.
Okay, yeah. You guys are coming in on my topics here, and I have no idea what you want to buy. So it's kind of interesting. I'm not supposed to be the guy in charge of these. I'll let you guys carry the load.
Good part of the run. Okay.
See what you got.
I was just going to present.
Let us fish the Greg's.
Actually, I'm saying maybe he got a map.
Okay.
You know, Scott Livingston is walking down the run.
I would like to feel the fish report. You never know if you're going to get some stuff.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't know if anything has changed since stuff he gave me or not.
It's
going to be a
3,000
year. Good, because there weren't a lot of details in that. And then the Bonneville one, too, which I saw some mention of that. Do you have anything for that?
We don't. We were mainly just curious if we're going to get some
based on past data, and they are so accurate.
Good enough. I'll sit and listen through that one, and then I'll do my talking on that one.
So we ended up having to work super hard to try to catch a fish in there.
We couldn't make the note.
Okay. Because the last part, they're real finicky.
Maybe they need this.
And now fry.
Last summer.
I got something a little bit different here, too. Okay, try the type one.
Everyone uses almonds.
Yeah.
Simons.
Almonds.
Try type one.
There's so many.
I'm assuming that's a restaurant.
Focused in those
details. I have no idea.
Because I've never seen that before. And for some reason, my laptop. This is showing up as 1 and 3. I don't get it. I don't
know. Okay, try 2.
We used to do real well, right? Idle in spot, and then when the tide changed, you know, everybody would drop their anchors and line.
Right. This is the year I think we're done. I'm going to take some time off and do some crab in it.
But it's not even split out as its own thing.
Since Memorial Day is all screwed up, the kids are starting school way early.
It's plugged in all the way.
Yeah. The way the ocean's going, it might be the year there for surfish birds.
Okay, go back to
the jetty. For tuna, yeah. Skip buggy fish is taking up tuna. Might be 70 degrees.
Yeah, it should be duplicate. Try extend.
They're fun to catch.
Usually try to go away.
Okay, go back.
And you get out there, and it's like you're in the Bahamas. And the water's clear. You can see the fish coming up from like 60 feet down. There's porpoises jumping, birds, bait fish. It's just like a different world.
Can you go back to duplicate?
Yeah, duplicate, and then apply.
So he said, hey, I'll take you and your son out.
Okay.
So we went out for halibut fishing. On the way out, we've seen tuna jumping around.
Oh, wow.
So he's just, hold on. So he throws some rice, he's going to patrol through and catch a couple. And like,
at least we're down to two now.
On the way up.
There we go. That's awesome.
Okay. You got that part. See if, okay, do a pause.
Yeah.
If it doesn't do that, okay. So you cancel.
And jigging.
You're on multiple mock. There it is. There we go.
Try duplicate.
Kick
the chickens out of it.
They're gone.
Cheese out of your boat.
They're gone.
Do you have a
Didn't like duplicate.
In the next year?
Well, I had 30 years in November.
I don't know if you can or not.
So,
I just do that.
That's my
work a couple extra. Is there any incentive to wait until you're 65?
Yeah, there's a huge benefit.
Well, before I do that, I'm going to set up.
Okay, you're welcome.
You don't want me to wait.
It's kind of fun right here, Churchill.
I'm not going to do another meeting like that one yesterday.
We're going to hire somebody else to take over Gary.
I don't get out like you actually need to hire someone.
That's what the idea is. Yeah,
just go to all of them. Just go to all of them. You can.
I think you could.
You can come in.
Double.
All I do is I just cover everything.
No, man, I don't know.
Well, you don't have to do all the stuff. You don't have to cover the TNT.
Yeah. I'm having to invent things.
Because Paul. Yeah, but you get paid twice as much as they do for going to twice as many meetings.
Now we have to do the treasure note. The Tories.
We're in the same boat.
Yeah. The Tories are known for overcooking.
So I was doing a nice thing.
Yeah.
3 days to do it.
Yeah, but that's like I did for North Moscow. Right? You know, that's a small thing.
Takes some time, though.
Yeah, but that's going to die pretty fast. That particular project.
I know, but I still had to write a formal FERC letter that had to have all the components in it, or else we screw ourselves, you know. And it does go through, so.
Oh, you did the John Day?
Yeah.
I know, I got some.
So you're having to do the whole thing. I didn't have to do
it. I just had to say, I think it passed through, you know. But, yeah, I just wanted to comment something on the FERC side. It has to be all official. We don't like to watch this. Because this, we can make, we can send emails and stuff, and, you know, they
get official
by the VIOP standard. So that sort of encompasses everything. But at FERC, every single email you send, every letter or comment you send, it has to be perfect. And if you miss one thing, go and validate it.
So who's the football player?
That was Jack Youngblood.
Oh, was that Youngblood?
Yeah. Huge Rams fan.
Oh, yeah. Well,
hey, John.
I knew he was an older one because I was thinking of those Broncos uniforms. Got mad. That was an old Bronco uniform. That was bad. Was back when they were almost. So,
I had this car.
Yeah.
It's, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Broncos Rams. Get
Scott already.
Youngblood was the Broncos Rams. They were playing already. You see the old Broncos.
You see the Broncos.
Yeah.
It was the real old
Broncos. I missed that.
That's
hurt.
Are you going to attack him?
We are. They were the first part of that.
For the folks on the phone, Pacific States crew showed up, and Alan and Scott are kind of a tag team talking about the John Day pit topic, and maybe Bonneville. I wasn't sure if that.
We were here mainly to learn about that project.
Okay. We'll talk about that. It's easy. All right. Sorry you can't see it on the screen. We plugged in Alan's computer.
Sparrow.
All right.
This is the latest presentation and the revised version of the PITDAG antennas, the Weir Wall Contour Matching PITDAG antennas for John Day Dam Adult Ladders. This is basically another revision of the previous design that we want to present today. And this is kind of what we've seen last year. You know, fisheries researchers recognized that need for pit deck detection in the north and south ladders of John Day. John Day is the last dam on the lower CRB without adult pit deck detection. And you note that all of our pit deck detectors in the blue dots have near real 100% detection efficiency. So got a pretty good track record there. So, and John Day is red. So next slide. And as we presented in the last presentation, you know, we looked at several different areas, and, you know, this is the county windows, and you can see all the infrastructure, and it just wasn't feasible to try to rip that stuff down or try to put any detection in there for a lot of different reasons. This wouldn't be cost effective, and so we looked elsewhere, as we all know. So. And in 2012, we successfully deployed the thin body ferrite tile antenna in the PSNFC chemical lab, as you see down there in the picture there. In 2013-14, these thin body style antennas were successfully installed at county window locations at the Dallas Little Goose and Lower Monument Mill. And again, a little more background. After complete review of all installation options, the overflow and orifice antennas, weirs, were chosen as the best target locations, and antenna development surrounding the overflow and orifice weirs was initiated. In November of 14, a design was proposed that we would have raised the water level in the weir. Today we present the weir wall contour matching pit tag antennas, which do not raise the water levels in the weir pools. And the following slide will contain conceptual drawings demonstrating how four antennas would be installed on any existing overflow weir wall. So here you see the side view cut out. The one on the left there is the previous design, the initial design. And on the right, obviously, this is our new proposed design, the wear wall overflow contour pit tag antenna. What you'll see here is, obviously, we've cut the top of the weir notch, the geometry of the top of the weir notch off. Just cut it flush, and you'll see in subsequent slides how this all goes together on top of that weir wall and along with the orifice installation. So just a little bit of comparison between the last presentation and this one. So.
And the orifice antenna is also embedded into the ladder four, so that there's no need for lamprey ramps, and it's less impact on hydraulics.
Yeah, you can see it's much cleaner, but there's a little bit, you know, there's additional cost and cutting associated with this new design.
How deep is that?
2 inches.
That's going to be the issue.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm.
That'll be the issue.
Does it reduce the orifice opening?
No.
That makes it a little longer.
The first design did by 2 inches on the floor, and that's why we
decided to embed it.
How tall is that notch on the top?
It's the same height as the concrete is now.
How much?
It's 6 feet. The top of the overflow, it's 6 feet from the floor. And on the previously designed one, it's 6 feet, 2 inches.
How much concrete are you taking off?
Like about a foot, huh?
About 6.5 inches.
Oh.
It's square cut, very easy for a contractor.
It's just you're shaving off the top geometry of the weir notch.
There's a couple of extra circles on the diagram on the right. What do those represent? It's a little tan circle, maybe a bar or something.
I think that's conduit. It's representing
electric
conduit.
Yeah, for the antenna. You're looking, so the big gray wall there is the middle that's kicked out where we would have to core drill through to run conduits down the weir wall. Rather than go out and around, you just core drill through
the structure.
Yeah. It's the, what do they call that, the resting walls?
Yeah.
And did this extend the orifice width at all, or is it the same thickness as the weir?
The only thing that changes are the contours. The jampers are slightly changed. Okay. The antennas are thin body ferrite tile antennas, which will be minimal hydraulic impact.
That area right there is.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, how about that?
I'm really paying attention.
You guys got everything there.
So crank my neck this
way. And as we emphasized in the past, minimal concrete cutting would be required. Concrete to be removed is shown in the translucent orange. And that just gives you an idea of what would need to be cut to accommodate this new antenna design. And you'll see the cutouts in the floor for the orifices also, which you've seen in the previous slides. So.
Would there be any cutting on the sidewall?
No. And here's the conceptual design. Basically, you see the overflow antenna, obviously, on top of the rear notch there. Basically what we're trying to do here is not keep the weir notch at the same height and with no hydraulic disruption. And we've got the bolt-on shield, and you'll see in subsequent slides the exploded view of these antennas and how they're constructed and how they're actually set on top of the weir wall. So, next slide. And in the summer of 14, a thin body overflow antenna was developed by the Kennewick PSMFC staff and tested at the Pasco NOAA facility. This is kind of a rehash of the previous presentation. The benefits are basically the same. As Don spoke, the antenna is a ferrite tile, thin body, flat plate design. Installation with minimal concrete cutting provides no change in weir water levels. And antenna is contoured to match the geometry of the weir's overflow notch and designed to fit the entire width of the weir wall notch. And the antenna design is effectively of the interference materials that may be in the water weir notch and adjacent walls. So it's basically the same as the last one, just a little different. And again, we go back into the antenna benefits, and that's again minimal hydraulic disruptions we talked about. Ease of installation, drop-in bolt-on design, antenna shield, prefabricated design with minimal site fabrication required. So it will be one assembly that will be set down on top of that cut rear notch. And the antennas are constructed fish-friendly, high-durable, long-lasting copolymer plastic that we've used in the past, and it's very, very good stuff. Projected detection efficiencies are near 100%, and of course debris passes over the antenna rather than through it, and only two rear walls will need to be outfitted per ladder.
I've got a question about that last bullet.
Sure.
Just my understanding is that efficiencies always want to have at least three antennas in a row.
We're going to do two rear walls, and that'll be eight antennas. So we'll have two rear walls, about four orifice antennas, and four notch antennas, which will provide our redundancy and travel.
But you really only have two gates, right? You don't have like kind of three gates.
Yeah, we've right. In the past, we've had up to four rear walls, and we've reduced that as the tags have gotten better, the transceivers have gotten better. We now feel pretty confident with just two rear walls. We'd like to, if the design, we're very confident in the 100% efficiency with two rear walls. If a third rear wall would be needed in the future, we're kind of keeping an eye on that. So it should be pretty easy with the electrical infrastructure, the tag room, things in place. Adding a third, if necessary, shouldn't be a big deal.
So is this the first place that these would be used?
It would be, correct. Yeah, this overflow notch design, antenna design, installation.
So what are the confidence in the detection?
Through the testing that we've done, like those one, the actual sensing analysis, antenna design, the way the shape of the tags,
focus,
all those things come together and give us that confidence level. And with the extensive testing that we've done in the lab, and we're pretty confident in the numbers that we're saying.
The DALS is also one of the highest in detection efficiency in the whole Columbia River system, and it's only using two antennas, and that's the ferrite tile design where the magic lies.
He's got a little bass too, I think. Pretty high. Low mo and low boost are two each as well.
Yeah, correct. And they're
so
very high.
We've got really good experience with just two weirs. It seems to be fine.
So you're especially saying with some of these components are being used elsewhere. It's just slightly different.
Ferrite tile.
The antenna that's new. The transceivers.
The overall geometry of the antenna is just a little different.
Right. The composite of the antenna effectively emulates previous installations that we've done at the county windows. So that's where our confidence is really pretty high.
That makes sense.
Full duplex?
Yes.
How many transceivers per ladder? Just one? Is it take one?
No, we don't go that route. I know that there's multiplexing transceivers out there, but the problem with those is if you lose that multiplexing transceiver, you lose the whole ladder. So we have a safeguard of having each antenna with an individual transceiver. So if one goes down, we out there and fixing it, but we're still collecting data.
So
it'll
be eight transceivers?
Yeah, eight transceivers per ladder. And BPA is paying for the transceivers and the PCs through the Tegas contract.
Do they know that?
Yeah.
Good.
They do now.
We've had discussions
on the last meeting, so I think we emphasize that. So. Next slide, I guess. And here we show the exploded view of the rear wall contour matching pit tag antenna. It looks fairly complex. And, basically, the shield and antenna are to be delivered as one complete assembly. And we just want to show you the exploded, what's inside these antennas and what they consist of.
And because of the way it's constructed, it'll be a short in-water work window. We go in, cut the top of the rear wall off, we'll take the measurements, go construct it. And then to drop these into place and bolt them in, shouldn't be more than 3 days per antenna. Yeah, it's very short.
The same with the cut and for the orifices. And that getting that cut in there is going to be the most difficult project thing.
It's a difficult cut, but the contract, the local contractors, they can do it. It's just dropping in the hole.
Yeah, putting the, once they got that cut in, I can see it's pretty simple, but getting that cut. It's like the most difficult thing in this whole setup.
Yeah, it is a difficult cut, but it's, with the water jet technology that the concrete pouring companies have, it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, we're confident there's no rebar in that.
Even if there is, it wouldn't affect these antennas.
Is that an issue for it?
I would guess that would be, what are you going to do with the rebar if you hit it within that 2 inches?
Cut through
it. So now it's no
cut. Just cut it. Yeah, because of the ferrite pile.
I know. That's going to be
up on the ferrite or on the.
Yeah. It doesn't affect you guys. It because the stability or the of the ladder, not stability, but the.
That was one of the questions that was asked.
You don't want it to fall down.
No.
It shouldn't. We're not talking.
Or crack.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that could. But as far as just taking those two orifices and cutting those, it's not like you're going all the way across the ladder. A crack could be a problem, but that's up to your structurals to tell us whether or not that's a problem or not.
Minor risk.
I think so.
Seems like it.
Let's see. Non-engineer, non-engineer, non-engineer. Minor risk.
You were meeting yesterday where every engineer had a biological opinion. So.
I got all of that.
So, I get mine.
Good. Stamp it with your PE.
Oh, you're going to pull the stamp, aren't
you? Yeah, well, I don't think many of you guys have a stamp either.
Well, we got a little history there. We've cut into both ladders at McNary into the floors 8 inches, and we cut into every ladder at Bonneville in the same manner for orifice antennas.
Look what shape monocles
they're all still standing.
That's a good piece of information.
Shape is the only thing left standing.
I think that was in 2002 when we did Bonneville.
And the one ladder was actually a suspended ladder.
Yeah, McNary was elevated, so that was a concern. But,
mm-hmm. So in this day,
so that's the question: is where in the ladder right? are we at? I mean, we're below the flow control section, but how far
they would go?
I think just for economics, we'd like to get it as close to the electrical infrastructure, or the biologist to tell us where the most important place is.
Okay.
Yeah,
above the window or
below
the window?
Because that's what's shielding energy from the wire.
Do you have a diagram or overhead on the ladder?
I have a single weir wall modeled in 3D. I don't have the whole ladder.
Where was the ladder that you cut in?
Where would you do it?
Both ladders at McNary and all the ladders at Bonneville.
So North Shore McNary?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they did 8 weir walls.
Whatever the convenient location is, would work.
Did that cut into the floor?
Eight inches.
That crest. We actually have conduit penetrated through that felt rock seals to seal that up, so it was
Yeah, but this is John Day.
Right.
It was
John, you engineer.
This is the value engineer day. Okay. Yeah, like that thick of his entire day.
John Day North is really thin.
Honestly,
yeah.
I think
you
should be
more. Yeah,
John Day North is extremely thin.
We are absolutely
the best. I don't know about John Day South. When we redid it, they were nervous.
Structural guys left. Look at that right here.
It's shield.
So Gary got whatever you choose, the receiver to keep up with that. Yeah, exactly. So Gary and Brad, I guess, the status of.
Is this the last slide?
There's more.
Oh, okay. Let's keep moving.
Let's finish her up.
But you want to be close to the compensation?
Well, we don't. The county's on the south shore gets us closer to the ground.
Excuse me. We're talking north. We actually, you've seen this in the previous presentations. Just emphasize how much testing we've done, to what extent that we've done the testing to build our confidence into going into this project. So we basically tried to simulate that weir wall just as much as possible during our thorough evaluation of it. And that's. Andy's seen this the last time, no need to play the video. Basically, we ran stick tests over and tried to simulate the flows through the ladder, which was rather difficult to do, but we did the best we could, and again, build a confidence level in our field mapping, where our field actually extends front and back, up and down, and it turned out pretty good. We got really good results, and that's what kind of spurred us to continue development, and I have a lot of confidence in this system. So.
And initially, before we pulled the plug on the end of the raceway there, we had roughly 12 to 13 inches of water over the top of the antenna, which is the number we were told is generally it's about a 12-inch crest.
12 to, to 14, 15.
Yeah. So, next slide. Now we get down to the orifice antenna. Obviously, the exploded diagram of the orifice antenna, it's basically, you see the same thing as you would in the rear notch antenna. You've got the copolymer plastic housings, you've got the drive tiles, of course, and you've also got the aluminum shield that basically comes together as one big assembly, which will be just, you know, after the saw cutting's done, it's just slipped in there and then fastened to the rear wall. We've already talked about the bottom inset flush before for Lambert passage and minimal hydraulic disruption. Orifice dimensions unchanged, a little bit of chamfer change.
Yep.
That's the one thing I saw. So the only concern I would have is you are changing the thickness of the orifice in that ceiling area.
The chamfer.
And the chamfer and the angle of the chamfer stays the same, but there is that thickness there, so it's a thicker chamfer. Mm-hmm. I engineers have an issue on that.
Don't know. At some point it becomes
too
at some point it becomes short tube.
Right.
Flow.
That's what I which is my unengineering non-engineering
you
opinion.
See a Lambert's more personal touch.
I'm not going to say it. Well, maybe I will.
But it's still completely flush on the bottom.
It will affect the laminar flow of that orifice.
How do you get in there?
I'm going back upstairs.
Call it. Yeah, so that's the only thing I saw hydraulically in the entire design that caught my attention. Yeah.
We should embed the entire antenna, but the cuts would be very difficult to make and set the whole thing. But it might be difficult for a contractor to cut those angles.
I think you take a risk, and we'll see what it looks like. But it'd be a minor risk, I think. Good. Looking at Ed here, but
small.
Okay.
Now, what's a chamfer change? It's another. What's it usually about an inch there?
It's 5 inches as it is, and it'll drop down to a little over 2 inches.
You know,
it's going to get thicker.
Tip of the orifice comes down, it comes to a point in the chamfer.
Yeah, it comes down to a point like this, and then you've got the backside of the weir. And what you guys are is adding on a little bit extra here.
Yeah.
And so it's that difference there.
That dimension is 2 inches. Yeah. Actually, 2 1/8 when you add the shield.
1 inch to 2 inches.
You're going to be able to change like that.
Okay.
Get so much other.
That's the only thing I saw hydraulically.
Yeah, it's probably not going to change much.
So then structurally, or is that...
And then the question is, do you want these next to each other, or would you want one in between to separate?
Right.
That might be one thing you do to minimize any change.
Was that the thought?
Don't know.
That this would have a standard weir and a non-modified weir between the two? Or
it could go that way. We weren't sure if... we were also looking at water conditions right below the counting window. Or maybe it was right above. It was very smooth water, and the less turbulence would help with the detection efficiencies. So we put one there. Maybe there was another place that would also have smooth water. But I really don't. I think that's minor, really. I think whatever works out best with the placement.
Well, closer together makes more sense. If you get long distances between them, then you could have fish turning around.
The jet contracts off
your counts become two different counts.
Could be.
Not necessarily. It would be
unique
tag. So if he went and fell back,
you would see the difference. You could assess the difference, but you'd be still looking at two different. I mean, the chances of fish turning around between widely separated weirs is greater than two that are side by side. So if we're trying to be redundant, closer together is best. If you're trying to get an idea of fish turning around, then, yeah, spread them out. But that wasn't our purpose here.
Sure.
That's kind of weird. You guys could tell us where they need to be. All werewolves are the same.
There was talk in the last one when we proposed the first overflow about spreading them out by one to minimize the backup.
That's what I remember. Now we're not really, I mean, your hydrologic assumptions, I don't see, probably be, you know, side by side would be the best.
Yeah, where it makes for a lot easier for construction. And
yeah, and wiring and everything else.
I can't think I'd jump over one.
Yeah, that'd be a lot easier.
So, you know.
Yes, next slide. If you could do it that way.
And again, the proposed orifice antenna design basically has all the benefits of the notched ferrite tile thin body flat blade design. It's only approximately 2 inches total thickness. Antenna maintains the existing 20.75 by 22-inch wide orifice dimensions. Ease of installation, bolt-on design. Antenna and shield are prefabricated and designed to bolt in place. Again, it'll be one bolted assembly that will be set on top of the rear, inserted into the orifice and bolted into place. And again, our confidence level is near 100% detection efficiency. Our take minimal hydraulic disruption. And you only need two rear walls will be needed to be outfitted with a ladder. So,
just build the house they shut off.
Slide. And here's the cost breakdown per ladder. Comments on that?
Yeah, that's the added cost is the concrete cutting. The antennas are more complex in design. We think that there's an added cost there. But other than that, it's pretty similar to the cap design that we came up with earlier.
That was about 150 each, wasn't it? Something like that.
I think it was
166.
Yeah.
I guess that was like 300,000.
The electrical infrastructure, what is that?
Well, that's just the swag we took at it.
What does it include?
It includes fiber optics back to a computer platform in a secured area. It includes 110 power to the antennas themselves. It's pretty minimal, but it depends on where the power is and whether or not when we did the dowels, the core electricians did the work and came in very cheap and did an excellent job. I just took a swag at it.
John Day North, where are you going to put the building at?
That's the question. We've spec'd out these portable buildings that we're seeing around John Day and the Dalles quite a bit. Specific mobile buildings quoted us $15,000 per building. If we can find a room at John Day or two rooms, ideally, that would save that cost.
Think in terms of space. You know, there's such little deck room up there for manipulating cranes. That's part of the end of the day. This guy's trying to get debris out. You know, he's got a semi.
Oh, I agree. You know, and all we need is a 6x8 foot room, something secure that we can put all the electronics in.
So is there, to the north ladder, there's room there by the count station.
Exactly.
No, those are the details that need to be worked out.
Where you put it is an issue.
That's going to change.
It is nice to know that the fish.
There's the one big building, four, so that's.
Is this your last slide?
I think just below the counter
A couple more.
That keeps everything. You kind of look at that, but like I said, ultimately it comes down to what's on the
side. Yeah.
We just looked around, and I think in the two floors.
We already have an electronic screen at the outpatient facility. If it's economically viable, we could run fiber optics from the transceivers to that room, but that's why that's a better run.
That's why it's easier. This Cal Station's at such a convenient ground level.
Next.
Plenty of space.
Pretty darn similar.
Yeah.
Same for the north.
Yeah, identical for the north.
The north's going to cost you more, though.
And there's the total.
And you guys are assuming a two winter work period?
Excuse me?
You guys are assuming it'll take you 2 winters to get this done?
No, we could get it done in probably a 2 week outage per ladder.
Once the concrete cutting's done, then you know, the antennas can get all the in water work done while, you know, it's pretty fashion. And everything outside of that, we, you know, watered up or not. So.
The electrical infrastructure can be done before or after the in-water work period, like it was done at the Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Do you alternate ladders at John Day every other year, like at the other projects?
The upper section, we do water every year, except one ladder usually is shorter, which is minimum of approximately 2 weeks. The other one is longer. Well, that should be better.
So you could do it in one.
Oh yeah,
one winter.
I see that as the problem.
Yeah, I think everything else we've already talked about.
Existing space. So I guess I'm going to throw it back at you guys here. As far as the location, the ladder. Let's. What works best for the installation? I think that's Tom and I were just kind of.
Well, accessibility
back and forth
be,
here
might be an issue.
I don't know that it matters. I mean, it'd be nice to be around the cot window because you got rooms downstairs, some space.
Well, it's on the north ladder. Once you get down so far, there's no more accessibility
for the ladder. There's no catwalk.
It would have to be pushed up there.
So you're up there by the window again. So I, you know, that makes sense to me. But I don't think from a biology standpoint. You know, given your design, it's limited. You're not going to be in the flow control section, so I don't see an issue there. You know, I think that being close together is a good idea, and being near the cot window is a good idea. But let you guys decide what
you think.
No,
that works perfectly for us, you know, because we got electrical infrastructure close by, and possibly move into a room somewhere.
And cot windows where we're counting fish, so it all seems to fit together to me.
Although, if there was one towards the entrance and towards the exit, then for like Lamprey, we could assess, you know, delay. But logistically, I'm sure that's a tougher cookie to crack.
Well, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to get a redundant system for a count versus getting that. I understand that too. And that might be something that we do as well.
A third.
So you've got half duplex in there already.
John Day.
Yeah, isn't there? I know there's a Bonneville. Most of the projects have. And can we someday modify that to be a full duplex, or is that not possible?
Well, just need to have the discussion.
I mean, if we had the system in place,
you wouldn't need to do that.
Eventually, we'd probably move away from it. That's
So for the south ladder, it seems like the field station area as well.
And honestly, I'd go, if you could, I'd go above, just so because that way, one, as Trevor says, the fish that you know have been counted, and two, if for whatever reason they reject this, the count station guys would say, hey, these fish are, I've seen a lot of fish in back down. And you'll have that information.
On the north ladder, no, you can't.
I know.
Yeah,
north, that's what I'm saying. South is easy. North,
no. North, straight into the full control.
North's going to be a tough rig.
Something that's currently out there would have to go.
I'd say bring back a proposal on that, whatever works.
On the one side,
well, for both of them, whatever works for you guys.
And yeah, there's a lot.
Let us know what you think.
Right.
That's appropriate.
So a couple of things, timeline and budget-wise, is EPA fully on board with this?
I mean, assuming that we're discussing, we're looking at it, but I wouldn't say that we're 100% on board.
Okay.
So say that again.
About 4%.
4% on board?
We're just looking at this right now.
Okay.
I think this is the design phase, right? We're just talking about design.
And well, it's going to go fast because we're talking.
I understand. There's dollars. A CTE, there's other things that.
It's on the spreadsheet for 16, I believe.
Yeah.
So, winner of 16, 17, it would go in?
Is it 16 or 15?
I thought it was on.
It was on the spreadsheet we were talking with that we were looking at.
Most recent
was next
last week. Which one was the
16?
15.
But when we originally brought it up, I thought we tried to throw it on the 15 because we had extra
funds. Oh, right.
Well, yeah.
Resistance
to the core.
It's more of a rush. This is, we're talking fiscal year, so you can still,
we have
in October.
We can kick it off.
So it is, it's more about what we have, not about.
But it may not be ready.
No, it's not. It's about what we
can. Can you say that again, Brad?
No. I think that we can probably start to kick off and get our ducks in a row on who's going to, you know, get in the,
who's going to do what,
kind of get the team, where it's going to sit, whether it's a brand new project or an existing project. All those details got to be worked out. We've got a process we've got to follow. And we could probably get that kicked off in 15, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
We still got to get, you know, we still got to get the final okay from division. They've warmed up to it, and so.
And then, you know, at the Dalles, I mean, we were able to. I mean, we didn't work this per se. We had people on board for that feasibility study anyway, so we had assigned engineers.
Right.
That said, we kind of just asked them, hey, do you have a few hours to look at this design and okay it? So it was a pretty easy and formal process to get the work approved. Now this obviously involves some concrete cutting, so it's a few more hours. But
and I mean, to my knowledge, the Corps and BPA have not had this discussion. Right. Seem to be
so
some separate ones.
When can that happen? How soon can that kind of conversation occur?
Huh?
What kind of timing are you guys thinking you would need to have that kind of conversation?
Tomorrow.
Yeah. It's federal funding. We don't need.
I mean, it's realistic. I'm just asking.
Right.
I think here in the coming weeks, months or so. I mean,
as soon as you get someone hired.
Yeah, that may be. Yeah. So.
Well, considering the thaw in this thing with the core, this is on the sheet and it's on our agenda. So for the next
my next step is to talk to Ian and get to make sure that we're on the same page as
right.
far as, you know, where we might put it, who might manage it, those sorts of things.
So I'd say next Fitterwig, if you have
we should have a we should have a better idea of what the schedule looks like.
And a discussion.
And in that meantime, then we could talk with BPA and.
And you keep surprising with SCT too.
Yeah,
because this issue seems like it has some real benefit for critical questions that we have right now. I mean, giving this ladder or this particular site up and detecting could do a lot for steelhead migration questions that we have out there right now and for other species. So, I mean, it should be something we try to think highly about.
I'm real happy that now the core is actually
So
sliding on board. Yeah. Got one foot in the stirrup anyway. Maybe you haven't got the saddle yet, but pretty close.
High in the saddle.
Look, hanging on the horn.
Look, there's a saddle.
Just hanging on to the tail.
You don't always have to sit.
It's better to do that than being in front of the horse going low.
The O&M of the
system. Can I get a copy of this presentation?
Yeah.
Can you maybe email it to Sean?
I was going to send it to Tammy. She was going to post it.
Tammy's the official.
She didn't bring cookies. I'm not talking.
No cookies.
Not eating. I will start.
Are you here? Excuse.
Are you here? Is this a meeting? Wow, I'm sitting too close to Tom.
I broke off on you.
My apologies, Tim.
And he had a muffin to start, too.
I am.
and he didn't share.
So our next Fitterwick is going to be in June. We'll be talking about scheduling that later, but I think it's reasonable that we should have some clarity on this by then. And then if it moves forward, then I would think design review time is really minimal. It's more about figuring out the logistics.
Next Federwave will be February, is that right?
That's from what year?
February of 2017.
Make sure I'm gone by then.
Right.
Keep hearing that.
That works. That works.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we actually have
that? I think that's kind of it. We also made the effort to. I don't know where my mouse is. There it is.
Like Gordon's?
Yeah. Why can't I move that window? If anybody wanted to, if anybody had any more questions, we were ready with this. And I doubt if there are. I think we've probably covered this topic ad nauseum at this point. But
can you have fish swimming through the
office? Yeah, I'm
the fish. And I want to get water going through there, too.
If you're
going to
have a cartoon, you got to have, like, the whole meal deal.
So disappointed. I want this.
Where's the lamprey?
I like your coloring.
I can't do this with Google SketchUp.
It's these are made out of 2-gauge aluminum. It's about a 1/4 inch thick, and we've rounded everything over. We've tried to make it, just as fish friendly as possible.
Yeah.
There,
yeah,
little boot for the conduit, and this would all be delivered just as a piece that you'd just drop in, like we've been saying before.
I'll put together.
I'll show the exploded. You can see the.
I think Brad should just write a check right now.
This thing done. I mean, the drawing's so cool. How could they not just write a check? Right?
It's just
half your paycheck.
Are the angles on the screws the right angle?
Yeah.
They are. That's an 82-degree pitch going into an 82-degree countersunk hole.
Awesome. There's no threads in your hole.
That is awesome.
It goes through. It's through holes.
Oh, okay. Did you actually turn the screw?
There's the nylon in the screw.
Well, the threads are in there.
Wow. It's the nylon. Is that the nylon?
I'd like to say I made those, but I did pull those out of an Autodesk library.
So is there some fluff in the budget to cover all this stuff?
Is it the software?
Ooh, can you paint them green?
Well, I'll tell you what. Troy Humphrey just left. He had a seat. Maybe if you come work for us, we could hook you up with his. His okay. Seat. There you go.
Can we get a powder coated?
Sounds like an offer.
Send you my resume.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're wowed.
See if I got anything else good here.
So now on all drawings I see from the core need to exist.
This is left in the other cabin. I have to deal with it,
John. Okay. I want to see all your drawings that you have on
Edenville. What software is this?
This is Autodesk Inventor.
Yeah.
And where's my green check mark?
It doesn't look like freeware.
Actually, they want a lot of money for this stuff. It's hard to believe. The
resolution.
There we go. But with that, this is the main reason I really wanted to bring this, was just to show that it is just inset into the floor.
And your cross section.
And then also up here, we put a little half inch, made the shield come up a half inch to help keep the water from getting between the plastic.
Here's
and
a question, I guess. The whatever you guys provide, are there dimensions?
Yeah.
Depths and dimensions on it, because everything I've seen so far, it doesn't have any dimensions associated with it, so you don't have the depth of the floor.
That would be helpful.
I haven't generated the paper yet, but it's all parameter based and everything's drawn 1-to-1, and basically I just spend a day and say make the paper, and
that would be helpful to have.
Yeah, it'd be good to have that, because that's what's the height of that, what's the width of that, and
how high does that,
what's the the chamfer.
width and all that kind of stuff.
Those I took off the core drawing.
How high does that shield come up the sidewall?
This guy comes up 1/2 of an inch.
No, the side shield.
Oh, that?
And it's come up above water surface level at least.
It looks a little short. Yeah, it wouldn't be over water level. You'd like it over water level?
I would think so.
Okay.
That would be good.
What's the difference?
Because the water is plunging at that point. It's going to hit that quarter inch edge.
Yeah, there'll be a rooster tail.
A spray off of it.
Yeah.
Well, but it's round. It is rounded, but
I think he's got a point.
I raise that all foot above the water.
That bumps off the wall. It got some issues.
11.5 inches.
That's 2 gauge aluminum. It's over a quarter inch thick.
It's all coming out eventually.
It's true.
That is true.
So
just from if you're expecting plugging a ladder, you see some problem. You can actually see a problem.
That's true.
Thanks for the presentation.
Yes. You bet.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
He's busy.
Yeah.
Good. We'll get back to you.
Okay.
That was nice.
Just know that if we could write the check, we would.
Yeah.
So NEMS is going to pay for this.
If we could write the check, we would. If. If we were writing the check, you would charge us 3 times as much.
All right, we're on the back. No, we didn't go through Bonneville spillway erosion.
Yeah, we did.
Erosion?
It was very quick.
No updates.
Oh, okay.
That side?
Yeah, it's fallen down. So what?
Have they seen the camera ROV there lately?
Inspection of the apron. Last year.
The spill pattern and above.
Yeah. Oh,
no. Once a year. Out there, so they can attach to the
exactly. Why not use it as an attachment device?
I was going to talk about the Bonneville sluiceway. Yeah. Before these guys leave.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
Next.
What's next? Well, we're kind of skipping around, but...
B2 orifices next?
Yeah, let's talk about the G first. I mean the B1 sluiceway concept.
Oh, the end?
Why don't you go back to Mr. FGE over here who has probably an update for us, since he was gone for like a half an hour.
So my update is
on which one?
FGE.
Okay.
We had more water come down to Bonneville, and we were running 5 units. So what we were coordinating was the trigger for moving back to normal FPP operation, and that trigger will be when we cannot maintain 3 units. So the unit priority will be 18, 11. 14, mm-hmm. And tonight at some point we'll probably lose water again, and when we can't operate 14 anymore, then we're done until May 5th.
Okie dokie.
And everything goes back to...
Okay. Good.
I'll do that.
Talk another day. Another 4-day test.
Is that it?
That's it.
Ooh. All right.
Trash rake?
let's talk about the sluiceway concept while these folks are here.
Okay. Gosh, my name's on that.
Your name's on that.
Nobody told me about that. I wasn't prepared.
Alan's on there too.
Who? Really? Good.
And then you asked to talk about
Did
it.
You roll this presentation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're on.
He's going on a thumb drive, so.
So, just what it says. Yeah. Put one in.
So
what's the problem?
There you go. That's the end.
That's it.
I command.
Put it in.
Thou shalt.
No.
What is that?
I mean, what do I need to say here?
Well, it's just one of the last routes that isn't.
It's pretty basic stuff. We've got, as people know, we pass about 40% of
the or more of the fish that pass through the first powerhouse to the sluiceway. So when that route is running, which under normal flow years it is, we pass a significant number of fish through there. We also know that we have difficulty in assessing reach survival to Bonneville Dam because we lose a lot of fish through the spillway and turbines, and because we don't have any detection at all at the first powerhouse. So looking at this, the work that these guys have done at the different ladders and the ability have changed and evolved, and also the work that Dick Ledger has been doing with PVC pipe detectors in the estuary, it seemed feasible and fairly simple to put detectors in the sluiceway at Bonneville and get those detections, which would bolster our ability to get reach survival estimates for especially steelhead, but also for Chinook. And some low flow years we have difficulty, or high flow years when we pull the screens at the second powerhouse we have difficulty. So this would just it just seems like low hanging fruit to me. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 entrances to that sluiceway, two of which don't move, and the rest of them adjust with four bay. Is that right? Did I get that right? Is it five? It's five, yeah. Three of them move, and two of them don't. So they keep about a foot, 2.5 feet flow. That's the idea. And the other ones, the other two are fixed at, the sills are fixed at about 70.5?
70.
Or just 70. 70.0. And so whatever the four bay's doing depends on how much flow is going over that. Mm-hmm. Four bay can be 75, that'd be 5 feet of opening. So 2.5 feet of opening, but it moves, and 5 feet of opening that really doesn't move.
What's the width?
So, Gary, you're talking about going for the individual inches rather than the entire
I think you have to do, I don't know. You know, what's that?
How wide are the slots?
You guys know?
30 feet at least.
30? How much?
30?
No, they're less than that.
They're the width of the stop log.
They're about, maybe.
Stop log.
20?
20-30. They're not 10.
They're not 10. I know that. They're not 15.
Not 22.
Well, whatever they are.
Zeroing in on it. It's just 21.5. Just give us a little longer.
No, we'll see.
This is Pedwick.
That's how it works.
Well, the Corps of Engineers is supposed to answer that. You guys own the damn thing. What is it?
They own it.
Is there a point where, beyond all the weirs, where there's a channel that...
There is, but it's very turbulent, and there's logs and all kinds of stuff going through there from all the entrances, not just one at a time. So, I don't know. You know, it just seems
the... You failed to mention the passing the log part.
Yeah, no, I just did.
Okay.
There's logs going through.
Passing the log.
It is a debris route. It is an area where a design might be, a good design might be one that's actually expendable. rather than one that's very expensive, and it depends on how you do it.
Well, if it's recessed,
yeah,
or it's at the very end, right?
The very end.
Actual outlet.
Well, at the outlet, the velocities are pretty high there, but I don't know if they're any higher than the corner collector is. So I don't know. All I'm saying is there's a route of passage. We have five entrances, one big outlet. How much flow? 1.5 kcfs somewhere in there. Going through it, but not through, that's the advantage of looking at the entrances. It's a lot less through each of those. And so it looked to me, I was looking at it the other day, and there's looks to me like ways that a person could put a system in there, kind of out of the way of logs. A log may take it out, but you could kind of recess it. And there's existing stop log for the trash rack. So there's slots in there that you might be able to take advantage of. You have to pull them out and bring trash rack. All kinds of issues, but the point is that we could use better detection there, so that's a spot where we can get it.
What kind of efficiency target efficiency are you looking for?
Anything's better than what we got right now.
Better than nothing.
I mean, is the exit to this thing where the old DSM flat plate system?
No.
No.
So they changed.
No.
So they changed.
Yeah. We haven't been in there since.
Yeah, that's all gone. All that stuff's gone.
Took out shore and down the side.
Yeah. It just goes now. It goes north or south. It goes south and then exits the ladder, exits the dam right on that south corner of the powerhouse. Right by the entrance.
Drops over a gate and falls into.
Can you pull it up on Google Earth?
Exits by 64, 65.
Yeah. Unless we're done.
Yep.
So would it be possible to get drawings
one, two,
on those
one, two.
Entrances one, two. And stuff? Would it take a look at that?
I don't know about if the project has
it's been a while since I've been in that place. It was back when they had the flat plate in there.
Yeah. And this isn't even the flat plate, this is...
Yeah, this is...
This is the sluiceway, basically.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know what it would be. I mean, I would assume the best would be some way to put a tan over the
ground. We're sorry.
Flow,
your conference is ending now. Please hang up.
Bye.
Okay. Who's going to be on?
What time is it?
Noon.
Okay.
It's weird.
But also, I was looking at the top of those weirs, and I'm not sure if you can just put a flat plate in there.
Yeah.
You're not going to get good efficiency, but it's better than... we have, so.
Who's on the phone?
And I just would throw it to you guys. You guys are good about coming up with ideas on this kind of stuff. And you can get a look at those entrances and the channel itself and just think about it and see what's possible.
We were contacted by the EPA about this, and we were getting ready to schedule a visit to Ben Houseman and walk through it. So we'll be doing that here shortly.
Good. Yeah, I know the dowels. I brought the dowels up as well, but that's not as high a priority as Bonneville would be.
You can do it manually,
huh?
Yeah.
We've looked at the dowels a couple of
times. I know. It is tough. Yeah. Bonneville may be tough too. I don't know. It just seems like there's an opportunity there and a need.
So is this just in my mind then? So is this similar to what the dowels has? Where they have the entrances, and then they have the one big channel, and then they have the sluiceway.
Right, yeah. Right.
Now, in that instance, the dowels, they can never, or at least we were told, that channel on the inside, that never gets dewatered. That's impossible. Right. Is that the same case here? Or can they put stop clogs in and dewater that?
You could be dewatered this year.
You could dewater, Bob.
Oh, okay. That's
you can get in there.
That's a big difference than the
dowels.
It's a pain to dewater, but it can't be dewatered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it leaks.
It leaks.
Well,
there's a lot of.
But they were saying that I think at the dowels it was something like there's constantly 6 to 10 feet of water.
That's hard to work.
It's a little harder to work.
Bring your diver.
Yeah. Well, that in lies, that takes the cost of everything up.
It can be, right.
Getting a diver in there and doing different stuff.
Yeah, I don't think the Dalles is, it would be nice to have, but it's not as high a priority. Bonneville is a site that, it's our last site in the river where we get detections. This would help with getting these, if we get more detections there, that just helps with the ability for Ledgerwood to get more detections down the river with this towed array, so as well as being able to get better precision on our estimates of survival.
But it sounds like, they can be watered, so that would be...
So there's the out
there. There is where it comes out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
But that's completely different.
Yeah. What's the width and the surface? Can you measure that? the four bay?
Oh,
can't see the four bay.
I'd probably say that.
If there's two piers between any of the piers.
Peer-to-peer.
I was just doing something, a similar exercise.
My guess is 20, because each of those is a...
Whoops.
Three.
There's three.
I think the dowels are like 25.
Because it splits, C bay splits, doesn't it?
About 20 feet. Each one, and there's five.
I told you, 19.3.
Yes. I said into the five.
Where's Blaine Evers when you need him?
He's in the estuary.
So 20 feet now. So 20 by, up to 5 feet.
Yeah. But you have to have some clearance because of the debris. I mean, that's the depth of the water.
Oh, yeah, you get a significant amount of clearance.
The sand's going to have to be filled
with
a
couple of feet
or
so. You can't have a top.
Just because the manor is replacing it would be.
Yeah, I don't know. That's.
But I mean, it could be done.
Do
similar as they did the overflow section, they shaved it.
There's a lot of ways to...
We have a weir crest right there that was built pretty stout.
I'd like to see efficiency as high as we can get, but you know, it doesn't have to be...
No, I was thinking the drive. I was thinking inside. I was thinking where we were. It's like, I was thinking inside there. Yeah,
we got that.
We got that.
We used to talk about a lot of things.
Bigger than it used to be.
I'm booked all day long.
So, that's that.
That's that.
That's that.
Especially if you're calling.
So...
Plop.
We good?
What the next step is, other than, you know, site visit. You guys happen to have the time to go up there and scout it out.
Yeah, develop the concept. That's kind of the thing.
So it comes in with 5 holes in the front of the band, 20-foot wide holes.
Yeah, there's one on 10, unit 10, which is down on the north end. There's one at 3 and 6, right?
Yeah,
there's one right in front of the... units 3, 6, and just the gates.
You get one right for the wing wall.
Yeah, and then there's two down over here.
And then how are they routed to that outfall down below?
They all just... They're just weirs that drop into a common channel. The channel runs down and then goes over a big end gate.
Around the dam?
No, straight, and then it goes around the very... There's a big glory hole that drops down, and then it comes out.
Right down at the south end of the dam?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it goes now,
was I seeing that? And it looked like it was kind of dark.
You could see you could see the big flow coming out.
The
maybe see something
there. That dark channel right there is that.
That's the deck. It's just the shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, is that exposed right there?
No, it's just a shadow. That 4-bay deck's in shadow, so it's black, but it's not. It's just the way the sun's shining. It must be a morning shot.
I'd like to go down there and walk that.
It's contained within the dam itself.
Yeah, it's all within the dam. Yeah, the deck goes to the top of it.
Oh, even the... just so like when it comes out the outfall, that's its first reappearance.
That's its first reappearance after going in. But you can look in and see the entire channel by looking over the edge of the 4-bay deck. You can look back in there and see it, but it's down quite a ways. So each of those weirs drops into a common channel. The common channel goes to this end and then drops down to tailwater, or just above tailwater level. That drops out of the river. Very similar to your call there. That's what I thought would be easy, just because, you know, really it's up to you guys. I'm just looking at it. It's not that big of an area. If we build it in a way...
There are 1 participant on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as the host. For a menu of available commands, press *#.
All right, so what do we got left?
Trash your job.
That's trash in the river, but it's not a big space.
Yeah.
You get a lot of logs going through.
Pretty big job.
Pretty good to shoot for.
Well, then Ben sent the phone to me, and then I took my phone and I got loose.
Who else goes on?
Is that
right?
Isn't it? Is that like shitty orange?
Sometimes.
And you walk around.
So we're going to take care of it.
Tad can't run this.
It's amazing what I've seen you guys there in the last 2 years. So I, you know, I start looking at
it. Comes up with stuff, you know.
Put the guy, you know, the minds to work on it. It's not ridiculous. Knowing that I don't, I'm not after 100%, I'm not after something that, or if it blows out once in a while, I think that's okay too.
Okay.
You as well.
Here's a motivator. We have to be out of here before 1 because there's another meeting.
These next updates.
I need to. Yeah, we're
basically done.
I'm ready to leave now. Okay. How about that?
That sounds good.
You usually are.
Yeah. You can call in.
You can always.
We'll have a concept on this probably early summer.
Yeah. just pulling some stuff out. Okay. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, these guys are telling me I'm full of it anyway, so we got plenty of time.
That's just a standard
response.
That's your first response.
Frederick's, oh, yeah.
It can't happen.
Frederick's first. Okay. Yeah, never yeah there's always the no, the doctor no.
Don't give him any encouragement.
That's what we heard.
So where are we? Trash rig?
Trash rig. So Sean sent out the update forms. It had some pictures and a little bit of text. But for those of you that haven't seen the pictures of the text, it's basically the brushes and the cap plate, the UHMW plate.
Right behind you there.
The perf plate have been installed, and they'll have to use an ROV at some point to update or
adjustment.
That's pretty rich. Put Tom's name on there as well.
They painted in orange, though.
They're finishing up.
It's almost Chevy Black Orange.
Which picture do you want to look at here, John?
You can start from the top. And they're just finishing up some welds, you know, on the perf plate, and they're going to finish up the painting, and then it should be ready by the 23rd of April.
And it's still going to be a three-man crew to operate the sucker?
Yeah. So, yeah, is it being installed today? That was the update I got from Ferletti.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
The new era.
So we'll see.
So
if you scroll, those are the brushes. To better engage the trash rack down here, there's a plate. This is UHMW, and this is adjustable.
Yeah.
And this can be adjusted to come down and better engage the trash rack to scrape the debris. And then if you scroll down, All that perf plate has been added to contain everything that comes off. And so hopefully better.
It looks like the old one in some ways.
With the new spray paint.
Yeah.
And perf plate.
And you know, there's always a lot of room by the other trash rake for parking this one.
So is the idea that this is the new norm? Once it's, as of tomorrow?
Yeah.
Rather than floating debris?
Once they get adjusted. They need to get adjusted, then we need to do a test rake, and then we will see how often it gets used.
Yeah.
Or how often we don't have to shut off
flush units.
Flush and float debris.
Yeah. If you scroll up, you'll see the DDR recommendations. 1 through 11.
Rake is needed.
This is what is needed to keep that system functional.
And then Tammy, how are we for a contract on debris removal in front of the fish units for dredging?
For dredging.
It's supposed to be every year.
You're right. It should be in the budget every year. Now, whether or not the project prioritizes that funding for dredging is something that we can discuss now.
Okay. Put that on the agenda. I was going to ask that because I didn't remember seeing a request for dredging this year, so that's why I was going to ask that question.
Look at Ida, I guess, because Brian said don't look at me, so.
According to the FPP, they should be doing soundings 1 year and then dredging the year.
So, it would be ideal to couple that with the mid-season ROV inspection and get the bathymetry to look at changes.
Yeah.
And plan accordingly.
Isn't it 0.0875 inches, huh?
Excuse me?
They're going to maintain the intake rack bar facing 0.0857. That's excellent.
It was the pretty tight tolerance for us.
So? What's your point?
That's the existing trash rack.
I see your point. So we have to make sure the fish passage plan reflects the frequency.
I thought that was updated.
It's in there.
It is.
And the dredging, which is in there. And therefore, it has to be done. Or
the hammer of Noah.
The hammer.
That's right.
Trevor Hammer.
Trevor, come down. Trevor, I've never found a square hole, the round thing I don't like.
V2 orifices.
I have no update on this one. This is the ATR back check comments still are not complete, and We don't have a final EDR yet. So it's need to address that with George Medina and Karen Pierre.
That would be nice. Yeah. We need to get, this has been just skating for ever.
We've got coasting.
Yep. I'm about ready to give up on it, so you've just about met your objective.
Not my objective.
Can you outlast Fredericks?
The Corps' objective.
It's a tough goal.
It's fair.
No. When I say you.
We, George has been out the last few days. And,
okay. He was on the phone here.
He was.
Yeah. I sent an email out that the line is back on.
Okay.
He was wanting to know when the 10 minutes is over on time. He probably got back on and we were still.
Right. Is he on there? George?
Yeah.
No one's called in.
Oh, nobody's called in. Okay.
I'll send an email.
Yeah, I know.
Huh? All right, I can leave now.
Make what?
Durban Survival Program,
ESP.
You know, I believe we have a. Last I talked to George, we were looking at a model trip possibly in September, I think.
What I heard yesterday was that ERDC is starting work on Bonneville, on the Bonneville model in May, coming up here actually in a couple of weeks. And they should be ready for a evaluation of the data in September. Like you said, sometime mid-September. So that's the update I know.
Which model?
Second powerhouse model. This is the B2 runner investigation that we've been waiting to get that information in hand. And so they're doing a full beat analysis. And the problem is trying to make sure that what they're looking at in the model is actually what's coming out of the field, that the CAM curves are right. So more to come on that, but it does look like they'll button that up by the end of the FY anyway. Cool. And then we can decide what to do with it.
Yeah. Did you get a B1 beat analysis final report or draft report? Date out of anybody?
I
don't know either.
I haven't seen that. We're done.
Did you guys talk about the AFF?
Next
there's water in it.
So there was a conflict. The regularly scheduled fitter wig, I think, was supposed to be. There was a conflict with SRWG again. So anyway, we, which I think it was June 4th. So we need to reschedule the next fitter wig. So I have Tammy's fish calendar printed out here, but what I can do is we can send out a doodle poll, or if Tammy, if you see any dates or.
No, it doesn't matter. Right away.
Well, do you want to keep it in June?
Well, yeah.
She's sharing her fish calendar.
June. Did we getting full.
Did we cancel this in June?
We moved it to the 25th. With last item. Or cancel. I don't know.
18th might be an option.
So the 18th.
So I think we moved the SCT meeting, didn't we?
Yes, SCT has been moved to the 24th.
Oh, 24.
The 18th is
open.
Or
25th. Yeah, I think it's the 25th, and I know that there's all kinds of dual polls out there for those first 3 weeks.
Thursday, the 25th.
A bunch of avian meetings.
There's a Willamette Harmony meeting, John, on the 25th. Do you know if, I'm not sure where you guys are in that schedule or if you need to be there.
I'd have to look into that. I don't know off the top of my head.
I assume we want to keep it to a Thursday, though, just based on other meetings.
Include some of July in there, in your doodle poll.
Yeah.
At least a couple of weeks in July. Because I think June's filling up pretty fast.
Really?
It's a Thursday.
That works.
It wins the 4th.
Saturday.
Some of us might want to take a longer weekend. Crazy concept.
All right, well, we'll float some dates for you guys to consider.
Yeah, throw some out there in that first 2 weeks.
Just be aware.
Because we're going to get Friday off, so if I take Thursday off, I get a 4-day weekend. I'm not coming here to fit a week. I'm not screwing my camping trip.
Because we just have a July 6th, right when Morris gets back.
Yeah, please. Yeah, please sign out on the fourth floor before you leave.
Really? What if we don't?
That guy looked pretty scary.
You could never come back again.
Really? Is that all it takes? Damn it! Run all these errors.
And I'm gonna float the idea if I'm ever in this jam again that someone will please take mercy on all of us.
All you do is ask.
Room. Yeah. Okay.
All you do is ask.
I didn't know you were in a jam.
Y'all can come to Vancouver anytime.
To Coo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
We don't have to pay taxes.
Kells.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah, you're in Washougal, right?
So we'll probably set up this.
Yeah,
set it up.
It's been a
week to talk
about.
Well, I think you'd be able to push back to everybody.
Probably, because I guess
just move the decision. But
once a year,
decision making fine.
Once a year, that's fair.
And then the next time we went out, they smacked right. Came back with, like, this one's buddy went out, and they got three or four.